left off in the middle of the Tosfos Ches Amud Beis about Amira LeNachri. There is a mitzvah Bris Milah, and the Chumash says that the Bris Milah should be B'yam HaShmini. What does it mean B'yam HaShmini? So number one, it means that you're not permitted to perform the Bris Milah Teich Shmaino. The Shach and Yeridei paskens that if you perform the Bris Teich Shmaino, you have to do Atafas Nambris. You have to repeat it again. Ramos says not so, but the meaning is like the Shach. Shach says if the bris must be may not be done before Yom HaShmini. But not only is a din that requires Mila B'Shmini, not only does it mean that you're not allowed to do the bris before the Yom HaShmini, it means it has to be done on the Yom HaShmini. That's called Mila B'Zmana. There's Mila B'Zmana and there's Mila Shalai B'Zmana. It's not just that if you do the bris, if you're from this reason, Makdim al Mitzvah, so you do the bris on the Yom HaShmini. And if you're a lazy person, you're not from this reason, so you'll do it later. No, it's a special din, Mila B'Shmini, Mila B'Zmana, is a Kima Mitzvah B'Shlai Musa, as opposed to Mila Shlai B'Zmana, that's considered the Mitzvah Shlai B'Shlai Musa. The Mainach Kemina, where do we see this? So the Mishnayos say in Masech HaShabbos that only Mila B'Zmana is Decha Shabbos. If it's a Mila Shlai B'Zmana, then it's not Decha Shabbos. Let's say the baby was born, the Mishnah gives the example, the baby was born Bein HaShmashes, 1 week, the baby is born Bein HaShmashes in between Friday afternoon and Friday night. The Bein HaShmashes is considered a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So if the baby, if we would have known for sure the baby was born on Friday, so the Mila B'Zmana would be on Friday. You know the baby was born on Shabbos after Tzeisat HaKoven, Mila B'Zmana is Deicha Shabbos. But if the baby was born Bein HaShmashes, so it's considered like a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So then the din is that you don't perform the bris next Friday, maybe it's Teich Shmoneh. Because Bein HaShmashes is Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So maybe it's really Laila, and the baby was born on Shabbos, and Friday would be Teich Shmoneh. You're not allowed to perform the bris on Shabbos, because maybe Bein HaShmashes is Yom. Baby was really born on Friday, and that's a Milu Shalai B'Zmana. Milu Shalai B'Zmana is not Deicha Shabbos. Milu Shalai B'Zmana is not Deicha Yom Tov either. Let's say a baby is born a week before Rosh Hashanah. Let's say Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday. So the baby is born a week before Bein HaShmashes, Sunday going into Monday. Sunday evening going into Monday. So the next week you're not permitted to perform the Bris Milah on Rosh Hashanah, which is on Monday, because it's a Safik Milah Shalai B'Zmana. So you see from the Mishnah, Milah Shalai B'Zmana is not only in the Decha Shabbos, it's not Decha Yom Tov either. The Mishnah says, what if the baby was born, let's say Rosh Hashanah is Monday and Tuesday, and the baby was born last week, Monday evening, going in, Bein HaShmash is going into Tuesday. So then the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to be mal the baby on the second day of Rosh Hashanah either, even though the second day of Rosh Hashanah is only with the Rabbanon, because it's still a Sofik Midrash Labizmana, and the Midrash Labizmana is not Dechi Yantam Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. That's all the Mishnah talks about. Shnei Yamim Tevim Shal Rosh Hashanah. In Eretz Yisrael, they only had two Yamim Tevim on Rosh Hashanah. Then the Mishnayos were written in Eretz Yisrael. And maybe get from Dinas Hayam. He's bringing the get from Dinas Hayam to Eretz Yisrael. If the Mishnah would be written in Chutzlar, it wouldn't be called Mem Dinas Hayam. It's written here. This is not Medinas Hayam from the perspective of Eretz Yisrael. We live so far away. From our perspective, Eretz Yisrael is so far away. Eretz Yisrael is Medina Zayam. So all the Mishnahs were written in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, there is no Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. The only Yom Tov Sheni they have is the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So that's a big machlekes. So Rishonim, what's the din and any other Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath? Do you say also, Milu Shalai B'Zmana is not Deicha? Or do you say no, Milu Shalai B'Zmana is only not Deicha first day of Rosh Hashanah, which is Deraisa, second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is a Kedush Achas, it's a Yom Arichto. And maybe every other Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath Milu Shalai B'Zmana is Deicha. So that's a machlekes, the Rosh and the Rambam. The Rambam holds that every other Yom Tov Sheni it is Deicha, and we follow the Rosh, that the Rosh is Machma, that even though the Mishnah doesn't say anything about it, we assume that the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath has the same status as Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. Milu Shalai B'Zmana is not Deicha.
What is the issue? Why is this not Eichel Nefesh? I just don't know what the... Why aren't you allowed to make it? Why shouldn't it be Eichel Nefesh?
Tzarech Hayom Ktsas, yeah, Tzarech Hayom Ktsas. Tzarech Hayom Ktsas is only... Tzarech Hayom Ktsas has to be a Tzarech for today. So if it's a mitzvah for today, if it's a Mila B'Zmana, then it's Tzarech Hayom. It's Mitzvah Hayom. But if it's a milush leibizmano, then it's not a tzarchayom. Any mitzvah that can be done either today, tomorrow, or next week, we prefer to do it as early as possible because these magdim le mitzvahs. But the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that that's not called tzarchayom. The Gemara learns out from a pasuk regarding streifas noisar. If you leave over a noisar, so the Gemara understands the pasuk to say b'sarafta. A noisar ayom. How does it say? It says if you have a korban pesach and you're left over, so you should eat the whole korban pesach leil yontif. And if you're left over some noisar till the morning, so sreifas noisar is not derech yontif. You have to wait till chalamoy to burn the noisar. The Gemara asks the question: why not say it's a tzarach hayom tzas, not oichal nefesh? We're burning the noisar, but it's tzarach hayom tzas. Any other mitzvah, you're also allowed to do malacha to perform the mitzvah today. So the Gemara answers that since Sreifas Noisa Sebrentnish, you don't have to burn the Noisa today. I can burn the Noisa on Chalmat, I can burn it next week. Preferable is to burn it the earliest available opportunity, so he's Magdem Le Mitzvahs. But since it doesn't really enhance the Kima Mitzvah to burn, it's not as a mitzvah Sreifas Noisa Bizmano as opposed to the Sreifas Noisa Shaloi Bizmano. Sreifas Noisa is as soon as it becomes Noisa, you have a mitzvah to burn it the earliest available opportunity. So Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that that's not doicha yontif. So Tosis says it's from that pasuk that we learn out all of these dinim.
Hanuas, Odisham hold all Hanuas Haguf.
Yeah. If you make a fart to keep yourself warm, or you heat up water to wash the body.
It's a mitzvah to do it.
No, mitzvah is only if it's a mitzvah sayom, if it's a today's mitzvah. If it's not today's mitzvah, that's Reifas Noisar. If it's not a mitzvah that's Makusha specifically to today, then it's not Dechas. If you have a Mila Bismano, that's Dechas Yantav, it's Dechas Shabbos also. You're asking if you have a Suffolk Mila Bismano. So why shouldn't a Suffolk Mila Bismana be considered Tzarach HaYom Ktsas? Why shouldn't a Suffolk Mila Bismana be considered a Tzarach HaYom Ktsas? Rabitzel Ponevisha has that time. He disagrees with all the Rishonim. He says it doesn't say anywhere that it's not so. He says he always says against everybody. He says the Mishnayis give a case. See, I gave a case. Rosh Hashanah turns out Monday, falls out Monday, Tuesday, and the baby was born last week, Ben Hashmash is in between Sunday and Monday. That's not the example that the Mishnah has. The Mishnah has an example. A baby is born, Ben Hashmash is of Friday evening going into Leil Shabbos. So the next week, you're not allowed to do the bris not on Friday, because maybe it's Toch Shmoina. You're not allowed to do the bris mila on Shabbos, because it's only mila b'zman is decha Shabbos. Mila shla b'zman is not. So it's a suffix. Now let it be Michal Shabbos. Then the Mishnah says, and what if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Sunday and Monday? By us in our calendar, lo adu Rosh, it never falls out on Sunday. But the days of the Tanoim, so the Mishnah says, what if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Sunday and Monday? So not only do you not perform the bris on Friday or Shabbos, you don't perform the bris on Sunday, you don't perform the bris on Monday. So Rabbi Tzal Ponevizh and the Zecha Yitzchak Tainis, that's because it's Vaday Shaloi Bizmana. But if it would be my case, that the baby was born, that's the case that all the Rishonim, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch give that case. That Rosh Hashanah falls out Monday and Tuesday. The baby was born last week. Ben Hashmash is in between Sunday and Monday. So he says in such a case it is Deiche Yontif Rishon, because that's, since it's a Suffolk Milo Bizmano, if it's a Vada Milo Shlo Bizmano, then the Mishnah says it's not Deiche Yontif. But if it's a Suffolk Milo Bizmano, so that should be considered a Tzarach HaYom Ktsas. Any Suffolk is considered Tzarach HaYom Ktsas. Let's say I'm going to bake cookies because I'm expecting guests. They may want to eat cookies. They may not want to eat cookies. How many cookies should I bake? Only two cookies per guest. What if one guest wants to eat an extra cookie? So he says, Sveika deraisa l'chumri. You're not allowed to bake cookies unless it's a vadois that the guests are going to eat. So whatever is considered a safek ochal nefesh is mutter to cook. Mutter to cook whatever you think you may possibly want to eat today. So since it's a safek, that's what he tied. Since it's a safek, mila bismana is decha yantav. So safek mila bismana should also be decha yantav. But he says it's against the Shulchan Aruch, it's against the Rambam. They all assume that not. That's Akasha. Why shouldn't a Suffolk Mila Bizmana, that's Rabbi Tzala Ponevish's Akasha, why shouldn't a Suffolk Mila Bizmana be considered atzarach hayom ktsas. But if it's vaday milush labizmana, that's what Taisa says. That's we learned that from the pasuk by Sreifas Noisa. That since Sreifas Noisa is not deiche yontif, so any mitzvah, a tzarech mitzvah is called tzarech hayom ktsas only if it's a mitzvah hayom. But if it's not specifically a mitzvah that's mekusha to today, then it's not called tzarech hayom ktsas.
Mila should be different than any other mitzvah. Like mila, if you do a mila tomorrow, the father's chayav. And mila is a shikaris, no? Father's not.
If the baby doesn't mal himself after he reaches bar mitzvah, if the person is not mal himself, then this course. The father's never chayv koris for not performing meal on the baby. But the child will be chayv koris if he reaches bar mitzvah and he doesn't take care of his meal. Right. But the father's never chayv koris. Yeah?
Like we said, isn't it a sopik deraisa? I mean, if on a sopik mila, it's a sopik deraisa if you're going to do a malach or not. I mean, if it's not going to, if it's only his reason, it's, if the reason is only his reason, then so you're making a malacha daraisa. And food is, and oichel, it's a bit different because there, we see also, you saw this of harama, sometimes you can be marim in Yom Tov that if we need to cook, even if there's one suda, we can make a lot, even though there will be leftovers, as long as some amount of that food was mutter ready to make.
Yeah, we'll get to that. That's marbe b'shim. That's not harama. That's marbe b'shir. That's a different thing. Yeah. No, this akasha. Let it be. If it's a suffix, whether it's a milah zman or not, then that's rabitzel upon a vishes kasha. Let it be considered a tzarech hayom ktsas. That's a good kasha.
Even if it's not a suffix, if it's vada, so but it just has to be a mitzvah that's kasher to the day. So according to the Rambam, that every day you're gonna have to, that you really are chayav every day when it's.
Babram says when you have a milush lebizmana, if you wait every minute, if you push off for a minute, so it's you mavat, it's considered being mavat la mitzvah. No, but it's still not the mitzvah of today. The mitzvah should have been done some other day. It should have been done yesterday. The same mitzvah can be done tomorrow, except that every time, every moment that you postpone, that you delay, constitutes a bitla mitzvah.
That's not enough to make it like it's.
Mitzvah Sayyom.
The fact that you're going to end up.
Apparently not. The Mishnah say that it's not.
Saying
it's arriving against them. I don't know. By Pidyon HaBen, that's a big deal in Achreinim. Do you say there's a Pidyon HaBen Mizman and there's a Pidyon HaBen Shaloi Bizmanoi? So whenever you can do the Pidyon HaBen and the Yom Lamed Aleph, Machloike Satanai, when are you supposed to do Pidyon HaBen? We pass in Yom Lamed Aleph, one time holds Yom Lamed. So you should do Pidyon HaBen on Yom Lamed Aleph. You shouldn't wait. Just like, let's say, if the bris should really be done on Friday, but people go to work and it's a short Friday, so they don't want to take off, so they want to postpone the bris till Sunday, where everybody can attend. So you're not allowed to do that. You're supposed to do the mila bismana. There's an added kim to do a mila bismana. If you didn't do the bris bismana, then you do mila shlo bismana. So pinyin aben, that's a deal, and that's a discussion in Achrein. You say there's a pinyin aben bismanai, and that's considered the mitzvah b'shlei musa, and then there's a pinyin aben shaloi bismanai. But he say no, pinyin aben should be done miyom lamed aleph yeilach, and zviz magdim la mitzvah, so you should try to do it as soon as possible after the yom lamed aleph. But it doesn't enhance the kiyum mitzvah. It's not considered a mitzvah more b'shlei musa when you do the pinyin aben on the yom lamed aleph. One of the rishonim is beferish that there's an added kiyum and pinyin aben bismanai. They quote from the Ramban in Hilchas Bechoris. Ramban didn't have a riff on Pcheres, so he wrote an imitation riff. So the Ramban on Pcheres quotes from one of the halachas psukos, from one of the svarim from the days of the Gaonim, that if you do the pinyin aben on the Yom Lamed Aleph, you give chamesh shkolim. If you postpone and you do the pinyin aben after the Yom Lamed Aleph, then you have to be mosif chomesh. It's not enough to give because you paid your own baby. So it's not enough to give the 5 shkolim. You have to add on another shekel and a quarter. You have to give 6 1/4 shkolim. You have to be Moisiv Chaimish. So he's clearly saying, these Goyim are clearly saying there's a difference between Pidyon HaBen Bizman and Pidyon HaBen Shaloi Bizman. Things that we don't pass like those, that's in Gansen Nitche Min Alocha, that if you do Pidyon HaBen Mu'ucher, that you have to be Moisiv Chaimish, nobody holds like that. So that's why, since we don't hold like that, so that's a big discussion. The Rashash and other Achranim have this whole discussion. Is there such a thing as a Pidyon HaBen Bizman as opposed to Pidyon HaBen Shaloi Bizman? Or do you say no? You do the Pidyon HaBen any time from the Yom Lamed Aleph V'yelach, and the L'chatchil you should do it as early as possible because there is Magdim L'mitzvahs.
Where did they get the Chumash from?
Where did they get Chumash from? We don't pass them like that. They got it from the Pesukim in Chumash. You don't know the Pesukim in Chumash? Ish Ki Yagdash is based on Kodesh. It says if you magdish something and then you want to be poida, if the magdish is poida his own hegdish, if I'm poida my own ma'aser sheni, I'm ma'aser chaymish. If you're poida ma'aser sheni, you just give karen. If I was magdish something to berek abayis and I'm poida it, so I have to be ma'aser chaymish. If I'm magdish something and you're poida, somebody other than the magdish is poida, he's not ma'aser chaymish. So it's obvious, it's a dead giveaway from the chumash, that if you it's my baby, so if I'm poida my baby, so you have to be ma'aser chaymish. But why does it say five shkolim? No, that's Akzeris HaKosu, we give you a break. If you did the pigyon on Ben Bismanai, then you don't have to be Maisil Chaydash. The whole thing is so humorous. We don't hold like this at all. So this, Halachas Psukas, they said this from the days of the Gaidim. This was a sheet in the days of the Gaidim. So they clearly hold it to dinim, this pigyon on Ben Bismanai, pigyon on Ben Shalab Bismanai, like Mila Bismanai, Mila Shalab Bismanai. We don't pass them like that, Legamre. We don't pass them like this, Maisil Chaydash. So that's why there's a machlekes and achrayim. Is there such a concept as pidyon ben bismano, as opposed to shaloi bismano? So what's the din nachamal? The mila bismano is dechah shabbos v'yantav. Mila shaloi bismano is not dechah shabbos v'yantav. When you have a mila bismano, it's dechah shabbos. So the Mishnah has a machlekes hatanayim. That's called perek rab lezer the mila. The 24 prokim in masecha shabbos. The achrayim say shabbos is considered like a kala. In the days of Tanakh, a kala would be mukushetes. The kala would wear 24 pieces of jewelry. Where? Okay. Nose and the two, I don't know. Two rings on every hand, on every finger. I don't know where. Sukim in Tanakh like that. They used to wear 24 kishutim. So they were mekashet Shabbos HaKala with 24 kishutim. That's why Masechet Shabbos has 24 prokim. But how can you kvetch 24 prokim on Hilchos Shabbos? So they padded it, they put in other things there. So you have all Perek that doesn't really have too much of a Shaykhis. Perek Rablez and the Mila has all the dinim of Bris Mila. So it starts off at the Machlegs, Rablez and the Chacham, Rablez ben Hurkinus holds that not only is Mila, Bismana, Dech and Shabbos for the actual act of the Bris Mila, even the Machshire Mila, even the preparations for the Mila, Epshalash is Mbod Yom. Let's say there's no Erev and they're going to carry the baby from the home to the shul. And the Moyle is going to carry the knife to the shul. And to carry the cookies to the shul, to carry the food to the shul, that's not part of the bris mila. But to carry the baby to the shul, or to carry the knife to the shul, that's called machshirei mila. Or to manufacture a knife on Shabbos. Or to break off branches from a tree in order to make a fire, in order to melt metal, in order to manufacture a knife. So Blazer holds that all of this is permissible on Shabbos. Not only is actual mila decha Shabbos, machshirei mila, she'ef shalasis m'bod yom, are also decha Shabbos. And we don't paskin like Rav Blazer. We paskin that you're not allowed to. So in the days of the Gemara, it was assumed that there's a concern of infection. So if you're going to perform a bris mila today, there's also a concern of infection. So we use antiseptics. You shmir on the alcohol or something. Days of the Tanoim, there was a concern of infection. You're going to perform a bris mila on the baby. So in the days of the Tanaim, they used to insist on having warm water. They would bathe the baby's body before and after the bris mila. So the Gemara in Maseches Erevin on Daf Samach Ches has various stories. Hahu Yenuke, the Ishtapech Hamimei, the hot water was, they had prepared water before Shabbos, because we don't pass like Reb Lezer, we pass like Machshirei Mila, she epshalases mabod yom anadech Shabbos. According to him, there's no problem. Cook up a kettle of water on Shabbos. You don't have to. There's no problem. But we don't pass like Reb Lezer. So we pass in the bathing of the baby with the warm water before and after the bris. That it's required. That's a suffix sakana. And if you don't have hot water prepared in advance, so you just postpone the bris. You're not allowed to perform the. You're not allowed to heat up water on Shabbos in order to perform the bris mila. Are you permitted to ask a nochri to heat up water in order to bathe the baby? In order to perform the bris mila, so that's amirul nachri b'makom mitzvahs mila. So the simple reading of the gemara is that you're not allowed to. The simple pshat in gemara is that you're not allowed to. That's according to the halachas gedolos. The halachas gedolos says that baluita, not halachas gedolos. The sefer ita says that amirul nachri is mutar b'makom many mitzvah. If our gemara says b'shem yishev eretz yisrael gazer rabbanon. We permit you to violate Amirul Nochri because of the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Yishev Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah like all the other mitzvahs. It's not more important than any other mitzvah. No reason to single it out. So according to the Sefer Huiter, it should be mutter to ask a Nochri to heat up the water on Shabbos to bathe the baby to perform the bris mila. So the first line of Taisus says that you see from the Gemara is that the Baal Huiter is not correct. Because the Gemara there in Erev in Daf Samaches talks about different incidents when they prepared hot water in advance, and the water spilled out. So they didn't ask a goy to heat up water. That's Amila Nachriyana Malacha Deraisa, to heat up water. That's Bishul. Even though you're not going to drink the water, you're going to bathe the baby with it. There used to be a balabas in the Bronx. He used to put out Sfarim. He claimed that he was a big Talmid Chacham and he put out Sfarim. So the things that he had in Sfarim are utterly ridiculous. I remember when I was a little boy, before Bar Mitzvah, if I wanted to get a good lamp, so I used to read his Sfarim. So he has a whole Shtikal Torah. He says he doesn't understand what they're all tumbling about, making tea on Shabbos, that you use the tea bags and you're cooking the tea. Who eats tea bags? Bishul is dachan food. If no one's going to eat the tea bags, so what's the shayla bishul? The Gemara talks about bishul on tar. The Gemara talks about bishul on pegs of wood. The Gemara talks about bishul on kelim. There's bishul on non-food items also. Forgot a Gemara. So here also, you're cooking up water, you're heating water, not no one's going to drink the water, you're heating water in order to bathe the baby, to prevent infection, to be able to perform the bris milah, but that's assumed that that's a malacha deraisa. Heating up water till yatzah lettuce is a malacha deraisa. So the Gemara doesn't permit you to ask an ochri to heat up the water. It's beferish against the sefer huita. The Gemara says, if another neighbor has hot water, another neighbor has a kettle of hot water for drinking purposes, and we need hot water for a bris, and there's an erev, but we forgot to put away a box of matzahs, so you're not allowed to carry tzachotz sheinim urevis, means there's an erev, means there's a tzuris ha-pesach, it's one big reshus ha-yachid, but there's a gzera shleim ha-melech that without putting away a box of matzahs that's on b'shutzvis, a bunch of chalas that are on b'shutzvis by Yol Hashem b'shabbos, then you're not allowed to carry. So the Gemara says, since that's only, and he said, the Rabbanon said, if he asks a Nochri to carry an Echad Sosheinim Urebes, that's a Shvuz de Shvuz, to ask a Nochri to do an Issa de Rabbanon of carrying an Echad Sosheinim Urebes, so that's Mutav Amaka Mitzvah. You're allowed to do that. So that's what Tosis is not even sure can you derive from that Gemara in Erevin that we permit you to ask a Nochri to carry the hot water from the one neighbor to this home. The baby is in this home who needs the bris, and the hot water is in the other home. And there's no way to carry it from one to the other because there is no, they forgot to make an Erev. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to ask an Ochri to carry. So you see that Shvuz, the Shvuz, B'makam Mitzvah's Mila is Muta. Doesn't necessarily follow that Shvuz, the Shvuz is Muta, B'makam any Mitzvah. Maybe only Mitzvah's Mila because Mitzvah's Mochamer than other Mitzvah's Mila is Mochamer than other Mitzvahs with respect to Tchiyah Shabbos. But Harai, that Mila B'zman is Decha Shabbos. We're talking about a Mila B'zman is Decha Shabbos. Reb Lezer holds it, even the Machshiri Mila Decha Shabbos, I can carry that water myself, even if it will be a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, I don't need a goy. So we don't pass like Reb Lezer that Machshiri Mila are also Decha Shabbos. But Mila itself is Decha Shabbos, and maybe the only time we allow Shvuz to Shvuz B'maka Mitzvah is B'maka Mitzvah's Mila. So that's what Tosis is mistopic about. In Shulchan Aruch, you look in Shulchan Aruch, that's what Tosis writes, V'shem Adavka L'tzorech HaMila Hu D'shoriyah, V'stoch Dever Acher, I feel like the Avikah Chav Masr. Why? Because maybe only because Mila Bizman is Decha Shams.
What's the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah? Warming up the water. If I see the are you writing the shtar, the etzem writing of the shtar is usually that it's Yisrael. But here, this is only a garden to the mitzvah.
Yeah, but we know if we're not going to heat up the water today, then.
There's a big difference then. I'm going to the Bala Eater. The only had to be allowed. It came on mitzvahs, I made a mice of the day.
Why? That's not the kima mitzvah. The writing of the shtar is the preparation of the cheftza. Then when I give over, when the goy gives the shtar to me, so that's the kima mitzvah, buying up the land. But the writing of the shtar is just the hachana. That's a heksher. That's the heksher mitzvah. The same over here.
The mesiris hashtar
is the kinyan. Yeah, the mitzvah of Yisrael Etzel is the buying it up from the goy, not the writing of the shtar. So we paskin, Tosfos wanted to be machna here, that maybe Shvuz the Shvuz b'maka mitzvah derived from the Gemara Nerevim that is mutter, maybe it's only b'maka mitzvah smila. How do you know that it applies in any other mitzvah? So in Shulchan Aruch, that's not the accepted opinion. We accept la halacha that it is. Shvuz the Shvuz is mutter b'maka many mitzvah, not only a mitzvah, if it's a big hefsed meruba, or b'maka choyla. B'maka mitzvah means b'maka tzorach gadol. Whenever there's a major tzorach gadol, so then we allow Shvuz the Shvuz b'makom tzorach gadol. There is a dion some achrenim wanted to be machmer that Shvuz the Shvuz is muta b'makom mitzvah b'makom hefsed merube is only if one of them is amir liyakum. If amir liyakum to do an isa derabbanon, that's called Shvuz the Shvuz b'makom mitzvah. let's say that I myself will do an activity which is only forbidden because of a combination of two chumris and the rabban. What if you have any other combination of shvus the shvus, but neither of them is amir liachmas? So some achrenim thought lechumr that doesn't qualify as a shvus the shvus b'makom mitzvah. The pashtus is that we don't accept that chumr. Even though a few achrenim have that suggestion, we don't accept that. We paskin that many rise from mishnayim that shvus the shvus mutar b'makom mitzvah. Even if I'm the one who's violating the both shvus. Even if I'm the one who violates the both shvus.
Who are the baal eter would say like that? Because the baal eter is only not here, amir la'achum, the makom mitzvah, because you're not doing anything. But any other derabbanan he says would be a problem because you're doing something.
Okay.
Or he could even say by the eter, even if he'd be masking me, he doesn't need to say shvus shvus makom mitzvah, but it could be he wouldn't say shvus shvus makom mitzvah by other derabbanans. Outside of
near Lachlan,
where you're doing.
Okay. We have, the Gemara has a Kalal Tesis quotes from Masech Shabbos Kuf Chav Tes Amin Aleph, that Amir Lenochri is Mut Mamakum Chol Hashem Sakon. But you're not Mater all these Surim, the Rabbanan. Amir Lenochri is Mutter. And there are a few other Heterim. Gzeris. We allow you to violate Gzeris Mamakum Chol Hashem Sakon. But you don't allow Malochas the Rabbanan. We allow all Gzeris you can violate Mamakum Chol Hashem Sakon. So again, so the Gemara has one. The Gemara has Tosis discusses two tziurim that come from that the same daf in Erev and daf Samachet. So one is the both cases started off the same. They prepared hot water before Shabbos. And Shulchan Aruch says that Bizman is that we no longer do this. We don't bathe the baby anymore with hot water, not before the bris, not after the bris. We have antiseptics. We have other. We have alcohol. We have other things. The killer germs. We're not concerned. But in the days of the Gemara, they simply couldn't perform a bris. Unless they're going to bathe the baby with warm water before the bris and after the bris to prevent the infection. So if they prepared water in advance and the water spilled out, then you don't have any water. So the one Gemara says, if the neighbor has water, you can ask a nochri to carry an achot to shenim or revis, that the shvus is mutar b'makom mitzvahs mila, and we paskin b'makom any mitzvah. Fine. Then the other Gemara tells a story. Same daf tells another story. That water spilled. So the Gemara says, let's ask the mother, Nishayle Le'ime, let's ask the mother whether she feels that she needs some warm water, either to drink, or probably to drink. Does the mother feel that she needs a hot drink? So if the mother will say yes, then we're going to cook a big kettle full of water, more than the mother needs to drink. We're going to cook a full kettle of water, and the extra water we're going to use to bathe the baby before and after the bris milah. So it's unclear in the Gemara who's going to be heating up this kettle of water, a nochri or a Jew. So Tosis gives the two mahalchim. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is that a nochri is going to be cooking it up. How can a Jewish person be permitted to heat up water on Shabbos because the mother says she needs a drink of hot water? Since when is that considered? You're only permitted to be Michal Shabbos to cook up hot water for Chodesh Yesh B'Sakon. There's a suffix Sakon. How long after giving birth to a baby is a woman considered suffix Sakon? So the Tosis quotes also from the Gemara that the first 3 days is considered a suffix Sakon for Yoledes, even if she says, Ein Tzrichani, I don't need anything. We make sure that we treat her in a very special way, because we're afraid that she may be so sick she doesn't even realize that she's sick. The next 4 days, till the end of the 7 days after the baby's born, first 3 days, afilo amein tzrichani, you have to take care of her. The next 4 days, it depends. If I'm a tzrichani, then we treat her like a chodesh yesh b'sakon. Means she says she needs some hot soup, she thinks she's going to die. If she says, I'd enjoy some hot soup, so the pashta says that you're not allowed to be mechal shabbos for that. That's a question. When you have a person who is a choyle sheyesh b'sakana, so the din is that you're permitted to be mechal Shabbos on behalf of the choyle, you're permitted to be mechal Shabbos to save the life of the choyle, something that may make or break the life of the choyle. But stam, you have a choyle sheyesh b'sakana, he says, I'd like to have a hot bowl of soup. So you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for him. He doesn't think that the hot bowl of soup is going to save his life, and if he doesn't have the hot soup, he's going to die. No, he doesn't know what's going to be. He needs some kind of surgery. He's a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, needs surgery, or he just had the surgery. The hot soup is not going to save his life or the lack of the hot soup is not going to kill him. He just would enjoy some hot soup. So that's a famous Magid Mishnah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Magid Mishnah that if you have a choyle sheyesh bo sakana, then not only are you permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for the malachis that are going to that may possibly save his life, you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos on behalf of Kol Tzarachov, all of his needs. Why? Shabbos legabi this patient who is yesh b'sakon is considered mamish like chol. So anything that's that makes life more comfortable, you're permitted to be mechal Shabbos. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. The Mechaber quotes this from the Magid Mishnah on the side of the Rambam. The Mishnah Brura is very upset about this. He has a long bir halacha, and he quotes rai after rai after rai after rai. He quotes many rais that is not so, and he says, how can you follow this Magid Mishnah? Nobody agrees. Quotes all the Rishonim, nobody agrees with this Magid Mishnah. But the Shulchan Aruch says so. So how do I have the right to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch? So he says, maybe we should tone it down. We should only follow the Magid Mishnah and Malachas Derabbanan. But if you're dealing with the real Malachas Deraisa, so then he doesn't think, Chalila, how can you follow the Mechav? And Rav Elbel Soloveitchik quotes that his father, Abchayim, answered all of the kashas of the Mishnah Brura. He doesn't refer you to the Mishnah Brura, but he raises the same questions. And he shows where Rav Chaim answered all the kashas that the Magid Mishnah only applied his din in the situation where the person is already a choyle sheyesh b'sakana. He's sick and he's already b'sakana. What if a person, the Nazis are going to try to kill somebody and he'd like to be nitzol? So he's not a choyle, his life is b'sakana. But you can't really call him a choyle, a person whose life is b'sakana. So you're permitted and obligated to do whatever may possibly save his life, even if it's only a suffik or a sfek sfek, because suffik pikoch nevish zecher Shabbos. But to allow you, to, as I'm being mechal Shabbos, to drive the person away from the danger, so I'm not allowed to cook a cup of coffee for him in the car. That's an added malacha. That's a kol tzarachav is not mutter. Kol tzarachav is only mutter for one who already is a chayda sheesh b'sakan. So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik quotes this distinction from his father Rav Chaim. He says, if you look carefully, this answers all the kashas in the Mishnah Brura. It's taka true. All the cases in the Mishnah Brura, where he quotes all the Rishonim say b'feirish, that you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos unless it's going to save the life, unless it may possibly save the life of the individual. I'm talking about a case where the person is not a chayla. His life is in danger. Or he may become a chayla. He's in a risky situation. He's in a scary situation where he may become a chayla. He may get sick. But if he already is sick, he already is a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, we have to treat him to cure him. So then there's no contradiction to the Magid Mishnah. We have no rayas to the Magid Mishnah, but there's nothing that contradicts him. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik used to paskin like this, Mechaber, used to paskin like this Magid Mishnah. It came up mainly on eating on Yom Kippur. If you have, let's say, a situation, if a person is healthy, but the doctors are afraid if he's not going to eat, so he may become a mesukan on Yom Kippur. So he's not a choyla, he's just a weak person. So then you only allow the person to eat the pachas mikashir. Just tell him he should eat as little as possible to make sure that he doesn't get sick. What if the person is already sick? The person is deathly sick, and he's in the hospital, and they're treating him. They're trying to help him save his life. So if he already is in a state of a choyle sheyesh b'sakana, so then the din would be that, according to this Magid Mishnah, kol tzarachav is mutter, we would permit him to eat regular meals. We wouldn't tell him that he has to eat pachas mikashir. So this was the tradition that they had in Valozhin. Chaim Soloveitchik wasn't the one who started this tradition. The Netziv, whose granddaughter married Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Netziv writes in his Sefer, in his commentary on the Shilta, that this was the Hairoa. He heard from the Nachlas David, the author of the Nachlas David, was a student of Rav Chaim Volozhiner in the earlier years. So he heard that Rav Chaim Volozhiner had paskin like this, based on a Magid Mishnah, based on a Magen Avrom, that if the person already is a Chodesh Eish B'Sakona, then we don't have to be Mitzamtzim so much. Then we say, Kol Tzarachav is Mutter. So you let the person eat a full meal. That's usually not the accepted Psak. That's Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rav, Zichron Levracha, used to say over that when his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, took a Rabbanus, and he left his father's home, he left Rav Chaim's home, and he accepted Rabbanus, so his father, Rav Chaim, made him promise that Kiyas Kaf, they shook hands on it, that if the case will come up, it always comes up on Yom Kippur, That's the everyone in their rabbinate has the shaila. There's always some one or two balabatim on some shuls, half the shul, who have to eat on Yom Kippur because of a suffix sakana. So if the person will be already in a state of a choylu sheish b'sakana, then you should let him eat regular meals. You shouldn't insist that he should eat pachas mikashim. So that's not the generally accepted position. Usually, the going psak usually is not so. Not like Rav Chaim. That's what Rav Elbel of Soloveitchik in his Seif on the Rambam points out, that yes, my father, how come he's so mekel? The general psak is not so. Rav Chaim said he's not mekel, he's machmer. You're being machmer in Hilchas Yom Kippur, and I'm being machmer in Hilchas Pikuach Nefesh. Okay. So Nachamal. So the only time a Jew is permitted to be Mechal Shabbos with the Melacha Deraisa is if there's a Sofik Sakana or Vadai Sakana or something. If you have less than that, a Jew is not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara tells a story there. And we pass the Machshirei Mila, not Dechal Shabbos. The Gemara has a story. They had hot water prepared in advance before Shabbos for the Bris, and all the hot water spilled out. So you can't get the first paste. You can't do the Bris at all. What about the following case? This is not discussed explicitly. What about the following case? They had two kettles of hot water prepared. They need one kettle of hot water to bathe the baby before the Bris, and one kettle of hot water to bathe the baby after the Bris. And one of the kettles spilled out. So can they use the one kettle to bathe the baby before the Bris, then to perform the Bris on Shabbos? Then once you perform the Bris, so the baby is Sofek Sakana. So now, in the days of the Gemara, they consider it a Sofek Sakana. So then you're permitted to cook a kettle of water in order to take the baby out of a Sofek Sakana. Or you say, no, it's also Lahachnes Esatzmo, Lematzav Shel Sofek Sakana. So that's the famous Balamor. The Balamor has such a chiddush. He says that even if you have enough water to hot water to bathe the baby before the Bris, you're not allowed to do the Bris Milo because you're machnes atzmal matzav shel pikuach nefesh, and you're going to be doche Shabbos later. So you have no right to do that. That's what the Balamor says. And the Ramban and the Melchames disagrees with that Balamor. He says, ein lemitzvah elam b'koyma v'shaito. He coins a term. The Mishnah, if those who remember, the Mishnah and the Berachin has an expression. Ein lehegdash elam b'koyma v'shaito. The Mishnah, in the context of the Mishnah, means something totally different. The Mishnah means, let's say Hegdish, somebody was Magdish an automobile to Berek HaBayis, or somebody was Magdish an air conditioner, someone was Magdish whatever, television, whatever it is, jewelry, a fur coat. So what is the Gizbah going to do with it? He auctions it off to the highest bidder, and he gives him the jewelry or the fur coat, and he takes the money, and he invests it wisely for the Hegdish. So what happens if someone wants to be paid at the fur coat? And the Gizbah is in Yerushalayim. So fur coats in Yerushalayim in the middle of the summer don't sell for so much. Fur coats in the winter time sell for much more. And fur coats in New York in the winter time sell for more. So does the Gizbah have the right to auction it off to the highest bidder in the summertime? The guy was Magdashin in the summer. So is it proper? Is the Gizbah allowed to be auction it off to the highest bidder in the summertime in Yerushalayim? Or should I say no? They have to ship it off to New York and get the maximum that they can possibly get for this fur coat. So that's what the Mishnah says. Ein lehegdash elam mekoma v'shaita. You're not b'chuyif to consider how much would the fur coat sell for in New York. How much would it sell for if it would be the wintertime? We're talking about the summertime. It's the summertime and it's in Yerushalayim and Fartik. So we auction it off to the highest bidder here. So that's the original source of that expression. Ein lehegdash elam mekoma v'shaita. It's talking about pidyon hegdash. So the Ramban coins the phrase. Ein lemitzvah elam mekoma v'shaita. He says, I'm performing a mitzvah milah now. So you're not allowed to perform the mitzvah milah unless you bathe the baby first with warm water. Because if you perform the bris without washing him up first, so you may cause infection. So I have enough. I have one kettle's worth of water. That's enough water to bathe the baby. I bathe the baby on Shabbos and then I perform the bris milah. But I know in advance that right after the bris milah, I have to have hot water to bathe the baby again. But so far I did everything beheter. So he said, that's okay. Ein le mitzvah le mekayim v'shaita. B'shas when I'm performing the bris milah, I did everything fine. I later on, after the bris, I know that the baby is going to be considered now a suffix sakana. So that'll be a new story. After the bris is performed, if there's no non-Jew to cook up the water, so I'll cook the water myself. It's considered a suffix sakana nefashis. So he permitted to do it. And the Balamoran says not so. That since you know in advance that by performing the bris milah you're going to put the baby's life in danger, so you're not allowed to perform the bris milah. That's considered machnesatzma le trias isurim. He's putting himself in a situation. He's creating a situation of sakanas nefashis that is derech Hashemes. So that case is never really expressed, discussed in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about they spilled all the hot water. They prepared a big samovar of water, and all the hot water spilled out. One never talks about this shaila. What if the water from after the bris spilled, but the water from before the bris didn't spill? That's the machlokes, is the Balamor and the Ramban. So Nachman, so what was the other incident in the Gemara? The Gemara says there was no water. So the Gemara says neshaila leime. Let's ask the mother. If the mother says, mother feels that she needs a hot drink. What do you mean the mother feels she needs a hot drink? She's afraid she's going to die without the hot drink. Or she feels the hot drink would help her recover faster. So apparently we consider the mother like what? Like a cholish yesh b'sakan, a cholish yesh b'sakan. It's a little unclear. What are we talking about here? Who's going to cook up the water? Who's going to cook the water for the mother? So Tosfos says, wait a minute, we're talking about performing a bris milah. Bris milah is on the Shemini. It's on the eighth day. So on the eighth day, the Gemara assumes that a yoledes is no longer considered a misukenes. She's only misukenes the first 7 days. The first 3 days of the first 7 days is considered a misukenes, even if she says, ain't tzrichani. We insist she should eat, and we insist we have to take care of her the way we take care of all the yoldas. And the last 4 days of the first 7 days, if she says tzrichani, we leave it up to her. If she says tzrichani, then we'll do malacha for her, then we'll be mechal Shabbos, then we'll treat her like a chodesh yesh b'sakana. If she's ain't tzrichani, so there's no suffix sakana. So there, that's the machlokes. If she says tzrichani, or in the first 3 days, even if she doesn't say tzrichani, so we're mechal Shabbos to make her something warm that we think may save her life. Oh no, we machal Shabbos to give her a warm drink, even though we don't think it's going to save her life, just to make life more comfortable. So that's the machlekes, the Magen Mishnah and the Mishnah Berurah. Magen Mishnah and Rav Chaim and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, even just to make life more comfortable, is mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah thinks that you can't be matter that. That's too wild a heta. So Nachman, so the Gemara says they're holding by performing a bris on Shabbos. The baby was born last Shabbos. They want to perform a bris milah. It's a milah bismana. Milah shalai bismana is not derech Shabbos. It's a milah bismana is the eighth day. So the eighth day, so what are we asking the mother whether she wants a hot drink of soup or a hot drink of coffee or tea? But after, the eighth day is ready after the first 7 days, no? Number eight is after seven. So if it's already the Yom HaShmini, so she's no longer a chodesh yesh b'sakana. So what heter will you have to cook hot water for her? So Tosfos says it must be Ayde Nachri, because the Gemara says on Kuf Chav Tesam and Aleph and Shabbos that on behalf of a chodesh she'ein b'sakana, Amir le Nachri is mutter. So that's what Tosfos says. It must be, it's on the eighth day, so the woman is not considered a chodesh yesh b'sakana, unless the doctors say that she's still critically sick, she's still b'sakana. But the Gemara doesn't say that it's a special case, she's still b'sakana. So we should assume that she's no longer a chayla mesukan. She's not mesukenis anymore. So the chayla shem mesakana. So if she says tzrichani, then chayla shem mesakana osim kol tzarachov ayde nochri b'shabbos. So once we have a heter to ask the nochri to heat up water on behalf of the mother because she's a chayla shem mesakana, samir with the nochri is mutter. So we can ask the nochri to cook a full kettle of water. The extra water we're going to use to bathe the baby before and after the bris milah. That's how Tosfos prefers to learn pshat in the Gemara. Then the Tosfos realizes there's an alternate way to learn pshat, that we're going to heat up the water for the mother al yidei Yisrael. Heat up the mother al yidei Yisrael. How is that possible? But we're holding the eighth day. So the eighth day she's a chayla. She's only a chayla she'im esakon. She's not a chodesh yesh b'sakana. So Tosfos says, no, it's the eighth day on the calendar, but it's still within 7 days of Meis Leis. The baby was born late in the afternoon, last week on Shabbos. And the Oled, they want to have the bris in the morning. And the Oledes would like to have a hot drink in the morning, of Shabbos morning, the week after. So true, it's the eighth day, but at the same time, it's the seventh day. It's within the seventh Meis Leis after the baby was born. So the other pshat in Tosfos says that's a doichik to say like that. What do you mean the other pshat that said must be that the goy is cooking up the water? What do they consider a doichik? They consider it a doichik to say an okimta pshat, that is the eighth day for Mila, but it's still the seventh day. It's within 7 meisleis. Meisleis means a unit of 24 hours. It's still within the 7 meisleis because the baby was born late in the afternoon last week on Shabbos. Now we're talking early in the morning on Shabbos morning. That's a doichik to say an okimta pshat, or it's a doichik that the din is not correct. Once, according to the calendar, the first 7 days are over, so the woman is not considered a chayla sheish b'sakan, even though it's within 7 meisleis. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins the second way, the second shot, that once the 7 calendaric days are up, even though it's within 7 meisleis, she no longer has the status of a chayla sheish b'sakan. And the other achrayim, the Raguan, the others disagree. They say, why should him Shulchan Aruch Trumas Hadeshin says like that? So the other achrayim say they don't think that that's what Taisa is meant to say. Tais is meant to say it's a dechik to give an okimta pshat, that is the eighth day for bris mila purposes, and it's still the seventh day for sakana because you got basa meisleis. They think that to say an okimta is a dechik, but the din they think is correct that the 7 days go meisleis. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that there's those who want to be mekel can be mekel. There's room to be mekel on that. Maybe you should bedafka adopt that shita, that up until the end of the full 7 meisleis, the woman is still considered a chayla sheyesh b'sakon. So let's go again. So what were the two ways to read the Gemara? So the one way is, it's the eighth day, and the woman is a chayla sheyesh b'sakon. And Amira l'nachri is muta on behalf of a chayla sheyesh b'sakon. So the woman is chayla sheyesh b'sakon, and she'd like to have a warm drink. So we're permitted to ask the nachri to heat up water for the oladis to drink. So we tell the nachri, instead of cooking just one cup of water, cook a whole kettle of water. And why do we allow marve b'shura? But the heta for the chayla sheyesh, we don't allow Amir Lenachri to cook water in order to perform the bris mila. We don't permit Amir Lenachri b'makam mitzvah mila. We only allow shvuz de shvuz. So why is it any better over here? Since we have a heter for the basic amount, we're allowed to ask the Nachri to heat up a little bit of water for the oledus to drink, because the oledus has the status of a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. So once we are allowed to ask the Nachri to cook up that amount of water, so we ask him to cook up a whole kettle full of water. So why is that any better? So the pashtus is, there are two ways to read the Taisa. Why is it mutam? So the simple way to read is that the prohibition of Amira l'Nachri doesn't become worse if the Nachri is going to cook a whole kettle full of water as opposed to a cup of water. It's Amira l'Nachri, I ask a Nachri to do a malacha for me. So whether I ask him to cook a cup of water, I ask him to cook a gallon of water, a whole samovar full of water, it's the same degree of Amir Lenoch. It doesn't make it any worse. That's one way to read the Taisus. One could argue the point and say, why? What is it? The prohibition of Amir Lenoch is only Dabar Dover. That's the Or Zarua points out such a Rashi in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the first parak. Rashi writes, Amir Lenoch is Shavuos, it's Zosim on Shabbos, they ask Anoch to do Melocha. Because the pasuk in Yirmiyah says, the pasuk in Yeshayah says, "B'mtzoch avatzecha v'daber dover." Shelayhei debuchah shal Shabbos ki debuchah shal chol. So Amir LaNachri is prohibited because I'm talking about a melacha. I ask the Nachri to cook a kettle full of water. So once I ask him, so if the whole Isser of Amir LaNachri would have been daber dover, so it does make a difference. But I ask the Nachri, please cook a cup of water, or please cook a samovar of water. The same number of words. I can say it in less words. Please cook a whole kettle of water. I can say it the same number of words or less words than I would have said, please cook a cup of water for the oledus to drink. So if we would have said that the whole prohibition of Amir al-Nachri is only Dabar Dover, so then it would make sense. But the shaila is, it's not only Dabar Dover. That's one aspect is Dabar Dover. But if that would be the whole prohibition, then the Or Zarua raised the suffix, is it permissible to ask a Nachri on Erev Shabbos to do a melacha for me on Shabbos? Maybe the whole prohibition is only Dabar Dabar, so the whole prohibition is only violated if I do the Amira on Shabbos. But if I did the Amira on Erev Shabbos, maybe there's no issue. So he says, no, he brings Beferish and Mishnayis in the end of Masech Shabbos. He's not allowed to ask a Nachri on Erev Shabbos to do a melacha on Shabbos. He's not allowed to ask a Nachri on Shabbos to do a melacha on Matzoi Shabbos either. So he says there are two prohibitions. One is Yesh Lichas La'akum Lechumre. The Nachri is doing the Malacha for me on Shabbos, so it's considered midirabban as if I myself did the Malacha. Yesh Lichas La'akum Lechumre. And the other source of the prohibition is Dabar Dabar Shalahei Debucha Shal Shabbos, Gedebucha Shal Chol. You're not allowed to talk about doing Malachas on Shabbos. So to ask an Achri on Shabbos to do Malach HaMatzoi Shabbos, I'll ask the mechanic, my automobile is out of order, can you please come on Matzoi Shabbos and fix my automobile? So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You're talking about a malacha. Even though the Nachri is not going to come on Shabbos, you can't say, Yesh Lichas Lakam Lachum. He doesn't do the malacha on Shabbos. So if I ask the Nachri on Erev Shabbos to do the malacha on Shabbos, I'm not in violation of Dabar Dovar, but it's Shlichas Lakam. The Nachri is doing the malacha on Shabbos al Pit Tzivui. So we say, Yesh Lichas Lakam Lachum. If the Mishnah says in Masech Shabbos, I'll ask, I see the mechanic on the corner, and I don't invite him over from Malava Malka. He's not Jewish. So I say, Jack, do you think he can come over tonight at 6 o'clock? I don't tell him for what, but it's obvious for what. The only time he ever comes to my home is to fix my automobile. It's in the garage. And the Mishnah says that's permissible. They ask him on Shabbos, Hanirish, do you think Hanirish etamanimi la erev? Do you think he can come over tonight? So I neither violated Amir al-Nachri Dabadover, because I didn't mention the Malach. I just said, could you please come over tonight? And there's no violation of Shlichas Lachem Lachumer, because he doesn't do the Malach on Shabbos. He doesn't have a Tzoy Shabbos. So that's what the Urzara says. There are two aspects to the prohibition of Amir al-Yakam, and you have to, in order to be Mutter, you have to see to it that you avoid both of them. So what is the Pshat over here? The Taisa says, to ask a Nachri to cook water for the baby to perform the bris is not permissible. They don't hold like the Balu Iter, and they quote the Halachas Gedolos holds Amir Liachim is Mutim and Makamila. We don't hold like that either. We don't pass like the Balu Iter holds Amir Liachim is Mutim and Makam any in every mitzvah, and the Balu Halachas Gedolos says Amir Liachim is Mutim and Makamila. We don't hold like either of them. We hold Amir Liachim is not Mutim and Makamila. Only the shvus is mutter. There's the nachri to carry in a chatzah sheni morevis. So why is over here? Why is it mutter? We're permitted to ask the nachri to heat up water for the oledves, because she says tzrichani, and she has the status of a chayla she'ein bo sakone, of a chayla she'ein bo sakone. So once we have a heter to ask the nachri to cook the basic amount, so it's permissible to ask the nachri to be marbe b'shur. Why is that permissible? So there's something missing over here. So l'chor, you have to add on a little more. What's taka the din of marbe b'shur? Let's say I have a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. The doctor says this chayla sheyesh b'sakana can only be cured if he eats a freshly plucked orange that was just plucked off from the tree today. So if you can get a nachri to pluck off an orange, good. If you can't get a nachri, so you're permitted to pluck it off yourself. So the Gemara has a suffix. What if the doctor says this patient needs three oranges? Three freshly picked oranges, picked today from the tree. So I have a choice of either plucking one, two, three, plucking off three oranges separately, doing a ktsira on orange A, a separate ktsira on orange B, a separate ktsira on orange C. Or I can break off one branch that has five oranges on it, but I only need three out of the five, but I'll only be doing one ma'aser chituch. So the Gemara has a suffix in Menachas, in Perek, the beginning of Perek of Ishmael. Whenever we have a Chol Sheyesh B'Sakana, so we have to, whatever is necessary to do to save his life is Mutter, and obligatory, not just Mutter. So you have to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. But the Shaila is, if I can save his life by only doing three Malachas as opposed to five Malachas, so why do five? I'll do only three. If I can do one Malacha as opposed to doing three Malachas, so do one Malacha, don't do three. So here, the Gemara has a suffix. If I break off one branch, there's only one Maisa Malacha breaking off one branch. If I pluck off orange 1, 2, and 3, I did three Maisa Katsira. So do you say, pluck off, break off the one branch, do one Maisa Katsira, as opposed to doing three separate Maisa Katsira? Or should I say, no, the one Maisa Katsira has five oranges on it. So that's a bigger Malacha. That's a more of a violation. So the Gemara is not sure. So the Chari, what are they not sure about? If you say that Marbe Bishurim is only an Issa de Rabbanon, he's doing one Maisa Ktsira on a branch that has five oranges. If you say that even if the Chol only needs one orange, but to break off a branch that has five oranges, Marbe Bishurim will only be an Issa de Rabbanon. So what's the suffix? Should you pluck off three separate oranges, or should you break off one branch that has five oranges? Break off one branch that has five oranges, there's no additional malacha deraisa at all. It's only nisa derabbanan. So, from the fact that the Gemara was toying with this suffix, the Gemara is not sure which should you do. The Gemara comes to the conclusion it's preferable to break off the one branch that has the five than to rip off three individual oranges. But how did the Gemara have a havamin in the first place to think the reverse? That it's preferable to do three different ktsiris as opposed to doing one ktsira with the five oranges. So from the fact that the Gemara was mesupik initially, seems to indicate that there's a tzad to say that marbe b'shiurim constitutes an isa deraisa. I have a hetera pikoach nefesh to pluck off three oranges, and the fact that I'll be breaking off a branch that has five oranges, that'll be an additional violation deraisa and the extra two oranges. So the Gemara had clearly a havamina to think that that constitutes an isa deraisa. I have a hetera on the basic amount, hetera pikoach nefesh to break off a branch that has three oranges, but the extra amount will be an isa deraisa. But then once the Gemara comes to the conclusion, the Gemara comes to the realization that the din is better to break off the one branch that has five than to pluck off three different ktsiras. So now you're left hanging. We're not sure. Maybe that's exactly what the maskana was, that marbe bishurim only constitutes an isa derabbanan. Maybe that's why it's better to break off the one branch with the five as opposed to plucking off the three individual oranges. So the maskana, it's unclear. The havamina clearly was, and the havamina in the Gemara, the suffix, the Gemara Menachas, in the beginning of paragraph Ishmael, the Gemara clearly suggested as a havamina that it may constitute an isa deraisa to be marbe b'shur. So, bottom line, it's problematic. Why is it problematic? It seems to be a contradiction between two Gemaras. On the one hand, there is a Gemara in Beitza Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, that's the last line in Tosfos. Beitza Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, Memala Isha Kedera Basar. A woman is married, she and her husband. All the children are married ready. There's nobody else home. So she's cooking food on Yontif. So she's going to take out of the freezer a 10-pound roast. She and her husband are not going to eat a 10-pound roast on Yontif. She can take out the 2-pound roast, and that'll also be more than enough. They're not going to eat a 2-pound roast. So the Gemara says she's permitted to take out a 10-pound roast and cook it on Yontif, even though she could just have easily taken out the 2-pound roast. It's hefter gomer to be marbe b'shura mayon. It says it's muta legamre. It says muta. Why is she cooking extra? So she won't have to cook in the middle of the week after yontif is over. So that's beferish that marbe b'shurim. I have a hefter oichal nefesh on 1 or 2 pounds of meat. So I'm permitted to take a 10-pound roast and to cook the whole thing, even though I plan to eat the rest of that meat after yontif is over. So you see marbe b'shurim. If you have a hefter on the basic amount, so marbe b'shurim is hefter gomer. But then you have a Gemara in Chulin, which seems to indicate that Marbe B'shurim constitutes an Issa Deraisa. This is called Chulin Dab Tezvavim Ebeis. Hamavasha L'choyle B'Shabbos. Someone is sick, deathly sick on Shabbos, and the doctors say he needs a bowl of hot soup. So I cook hot soup for him, and I serve it, and the choyle eats the soup, and he feels better. Am I allowed to drink some of the leftover soup? Tastes very delicious. Am I allowed to eat? Or they say no. So since it involved Chil Shabbos, so the healthy people are not allowed to. So the Gemara says we wouldn't permit. Yet it was muta legamre. It was muta to cook the soup. The Gemara says we wouldn't permit you also labori. A healthy person is not allowed to eat the leftover soup. Why gzerish emiyarbe bishvilo? He may have this in mind milchatchila, and he may cook two bowls of soup instead of one bowl of soup, planning in advance that one bowl of soup for the patient, for the sick patient, the extra bowl of soup is going to be for me. So the Gemara says they made Gzeira de Rabbanon that the leftover has soup, no healthy person may drink it because of the Gzeira Shemiyarbe Bishvilo. So we always have a rule, you're not allowed to make Gzeira Gzeira. You only have a right to make Gzeira if you're concerned someone's going to violate an Issa Derais. So Tosfos says, don't you see from the Gemara, Mashma from that Gemara in Chulin, Zerish Amiyarbe Bishvilo, it would appear that if you're Marbe Bishvil Al Yisrael, Marbe Bishurim will be an Issa Deraisa. You know, you have a heter, Pikoch Nefesh is Doicha, that you're allowed to cook the first bowl of soup for the Choyla, and I'm going to fill up the pot with two bowls of soup, put it on the fire, roll the basachas. If I put first the bowl of soup on the fire, then I pour in more soup into the bowl while it's on the fire. So that's two acts of Bishul. I put one pot of soup on the fire. That's one act of Bishul. Then I add on more soup into the pot. But if I fill up the pot of soup first, and then I put it on the fire. So there's only one ma'aseh bishul with a riboy b'shiurim. So the Gemara says, "Exera de rabbanon hamavashin l'chol b'shabbos osel lebari." A healthy person is not allowed to eat the leftover hot soup. Zera shem yarbe b'shvila. So you see, you don't make exera l'exera. You want to make exera if you're concerned someone's going to violate an isa deraisa. So you see, from that Gemara l'chol the marbe b'shurim constitutes an isa deraisa, and then you have the Gemara in Beitza. The marbe b'shurim is het to go. Has luta legamre, has the kirachok mizrach mimayrav. How can that be kirachok mizrach mimayrav? So the Ran on the Rif in Maseches Beitza on Daf Yud Zayin Amin Aleph quotes this whole discussion. So he says the Rashba quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosfos one answer, and he's not happy with that answer. The Rashba quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosfos that marbe b'shurim is only an isa derabanan. And they only introduced the Issa de Rabbanon on Shabbos. They never introduced the Issa de Rabbanon on Yom Tov. Shabbos is more chomer than Yom Tov. So this is problematic because Tosfos quoted the Gemara Chulin, Hamavashel l'chol b'Shabbos also lebar gzeir shem yarbe b'shvilo. And Tosfos assumes you don't make a gzeir because you're concerned of an Issa de Rabbanon. You only make that's a gzeir l'gzeir. You only have a right to make a gzeir if you think someone's going to violate an Issa de Raisa. So from that Gemara would appear that marbe b'shurim is an Issa de Raisa. So this teretz is weak. There's a weak teretz to say that marbe b'shurim is only an isa de rabbanon. They only instituted the isa de rabbanon on Shabbos. They never instituted this chumah mid rabbanon on Yom Tov. This is proof in the Gemara Chulin that marbe b'shurim is an isa de raisa. So that's what the Ran gives a different suggestion. Why is marbe b'shurim mutar on Yom Tov and osar on Shabbos? So he says you have it wrong. It's not Yom Tov versus Shabbos. It's oichal nefesh versus bikuach nefesh. Oichal nefesh on Yom Tov is not that the tzorach oichal nefesh is doiche the isa meloche of Yom Tov of bishul on Yom Tov. No, but makom oichal nefesh there's no prohibition at all. It's hutra. It's het gomer. It's het gomer to cook food on Yom Tov that you plan to eat on Yom Tov. That's hutra. So since the basic degree, I put a pot of food. I could have put a 2-pound roast in the oven. Instead I put a 10-pound roast, but it's one act of putting it into the oven. So since it's all one pu'ula, it's all one ma'isa, and I have a heter gomer, it's hutra, heter gomer for the sake of the first 2 pounds of meat, that's heter gomer, that's mamash ochel nefesh, is hutter. So since it's mutter, heter gomer, for the basic degree, so the marbi b'shem, the extra 8 pounds of meat, is also mutter, there's no isa. But pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, It's not Shabbos versus Yom Tov. It's rather Pekoch Nefesh versus Echol Nefesh. Let's say Pekoch Nefesh on Shabbos or on Yom Tov is only doiche the Yisr Shabbos for Yom Tov. So it's only doiche to the extent that it's necessary. Since it's not hutra at all, that's really a big machlekes. Whether Pekoch Nefesh is mutter on Shabbos and Yom Tov and call it Tarkula, is that because it's Shabbos is hutra b'makam Pekoch Nefesh or Shabbos is dechuya? So that's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. So this is the Ran in Chulin, the Ran in Beitz and Daf Yud Zayin and Aleph draws this distinction. The Ran thinks that Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov is Hutra and Pikoch Nefesh on Shabbos is Pikoch Nefesh anytime is only Dechuya. So if the basic Shir is Mutta because of Pikoch Nefesh, that's only Dechuya. So Marbe Bishurim would be an Issa Deraisa. But if the basic Shir of the Malacha is Mutta because of Ochel Nefesh is Hutra, so that's at the Gomes. Even the extra amount would also be mut. So these are the two famous opinions that the Ran has in Beitza and Daf Yud Zayin. And Aleph quotes the Rashba, who quotes in the name of Balei HaTosfos, a contrast between Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Marbi B'Shem is only Nisa de Rabbanon. They only instituted the Chumer Mid Rabbanon on Shabbos. They never instituted on Yom Tov. And our Tosfos is not happy with that answer. Because our Tosfos quotes from the Gemara Chulin, Daf Tezvav, Gzeir Hashem Yarbe B'Shvilo. So you see, Marbe B'Shurim is an Issa Deraisa. So that's why the Ran gave a different suggestion, that it depends whether it's Dechuya or Hutra. Yes, they're getting back again. So what's the case again? There were two ways to read that Gemara in Erevin. We'll ask the mother whether she thinks that she needs a bowl of hot soup or a cup of hot coffee on Shabbos. So if the Bada says she needs, then we'll cook a whole kettle full. So Tosfos had two ways to learn the Gemara. Either it's Al Yidei Akum or it's Al Yidei Yisrael. How is it possible to say it's Al Yidei Yisrael? So you have to say it was the eighth day for Bris Milah purposes, but it's still within the seventh meisleis, and the mother still a chodesh yesh b'sakana. If she says tzrichani, first 3 days we treat her like a chodesh yesh b'sakana. If she says ain't it tzrichani, and the last 4 days of the 3 days only considered chodesh yesh b'sakana if she's going to say tzrichani. So she says tzrichani, so we're permitted to heat up the hot water for her. So then we're permitted to be marbe b'shiurim. There's a het to pikuach nefesh for the oledes. We're allowed to, the Jewish person is allowed to cook up water for the oledes. So then we're allowed to be marbe b'shiurim. How can it be? What do you mean? But marbe b'shiurim, we just said marbe b'shiurim is anisa. No, marbe b'shiurim is anisa. So apparently, this opinion in Taisa holds marbe b'shiurim is only anisa derabbanan and memaka mitzvah de menever geizer. So since the basic amount of water is mutter for the to cook up for the mother is a chodesh yesh b'sakana, so to cook up a cup of water for her is mutter, so the marbe b'shiurim to cook extra water will only constitute an isa derabbanan, so the makom mitzvah l'gaz b'rabbanan. Taisus is not happy with saying that, because Taisus thinks that they have a hechoche for the Gemara Chulin, zera shemi arba b'shvila, you don't make a gzera l'gzera. So Taisus thinks that you see from the Gemara Chulin daf tezvav, the marbe b'shiurim constitutes an isa deraisa, not just a chumra midirabban. But l'chor, that's because Taisa is not happy with this whole pshat, that nishayle le'imei, and then the Jewish person will cook the hot water. Taisa thinks that it's more correct to say the non-Jewish person is going to cook the water. But l'chor, to say that a Jewish person is going to cook the water, that's based on the premise, that's assuming that marbe b'shiurim is only an isa derabbanon, but b'maka mitzvah le'goz b'rabbanon. So here is a maka mitzvah to perform the mila b'zmano. Yeah, still, and what's the other pshat in Taisa? The other pshat was, the shayle le'imen will heat it up by day akum. Ayidei nochri is muta because the mother is a chodesh sheyesh b'sakana. Chodesh she'ein bo sakana is the eighth day. The eighth day is the only ein bo sakana till the end of shloshim. Chodesh she'ein bo sakana, samim le'nochri is muta. Yeah, so why is it muta to be marbe b'shur? Why is it muta? But the Gemara says, we assume marbe b'shur is only muta on yontif. Marbe b'shiurim is only mutar on yontif. That's the Gemara. Memal isha k'dei rabas af b'shein tzvich ela lechaticha achas. But on Shabbos we don't allow marbe b'shiurim. So the answer. So one mahalach was a difficult mahalach was that amira le'nochri is not compounded by being marbe b'shiurim. If I have a het to test the nochri to cook for me. So I can ask the Nachri to cook a whole kettle full of water roast. It doesn't make it any worse. Or one can say again, I have a heter on the basic amount. Marbe b'shiurim is only nisa derabbanan, so b'makom mitzvah le'gozer b'rabbanan. This doesn't finish off the pshat. But they have the two ways to read the Gemara. Who's going to be heating up the main amount of the water? Is it going to be Ayidei Yisrael or it's going to be Ayidei Nachri? Yosameach has a humorous comment on that Gemara in Chulin on Daf Tezvav. The Gemara has a contrast. Ashechet l'chayla b'shabes. If I shechted a chicken, let's say the doctor said the man needs fresh chicken soup. So you're not going to give him the vela soup, so you're going to shecht the chicken on Shabbos, and you're going to make him soup for the chodesh eish b'sakon. So the Gemara says, Ashechet l'chayla b'shabes, mutar l'bori b'yumtzo. A healthy person is allowed to eat the leftover chicken. Leftover chicken is going to be raw. All the chicken for the chayla we cooked, and the chayla ate it all up. So whatever's going to be left over, he's going to eat raw. That's b'umtza. Hashechet l'chayla b'shabes, mutar l'bari. A healthy person is allowed to eat it b'umtza. He's going to chew it up raw without cooking it. So there, we're not goyzer, gzer shemi arba b'shvila. But a mevasha l'chayla b'shabes, also l'bari li'ochle, gzer shemi arba b'shvila. So the Yosameach raises this humorous kasha. Why don't you make a gzera shemi arba b'shvila by shechting the chicken? Maybe if he's only shechting the chicken for the chayla, so shecht the skinny chicken. Now that he has in mind, I have in the back of my mind, I want to have some chicken also today, freshly geshechted chicken on Shabbos. So maybe I'll shecht a bigger and a fatter hen. So I'll have yarba b'shvila. So I'll be able to eat the leftover chicken. Why does the Gemara only say, "Amavasha l'chayl b'shabes, osi l'bari li'ochlo, gzeres shemi arba b'shvilo"? The Shulchan said, "Ashech l'chayl b'shabes." The Gemara says, "Mutar l'bari b'yumtzah." Why is mutar l'bari to eat it b'yumtzah? The Shulchan said, "Gzeres shemi arba b'shvilo." It may shech the fatter animal, and that'll be marba b'shur. So the Yosameach gave it teretz, and he said, but the fat animal, skinny animal, only has one neshama. The melacha is the ntilas neshama. The fat animal doesn't have a bigger neshama. The fatter the person is, if the fatter the animal, it doesn't have a bigger neshama. So there's only one ntilas neshama. There is no marbe bishur. So this is the answer that the Yosameach says. It's a humorous kasha, and it's an interesting answer. But the question is that really the truth? Is that really the truth? Maybe the melacha is how much flesh is now dead. So now instead of having 2 pounds of dead flesh, now you have 10 pounds of dead flesh. Maybe there is a marbe bishur.
I thought it was for every drop of blood.
Taisus talks about netilas neshama, right. The Gemara says that there's a malacha of chovel. If you cause bleeding from a live animal, so that's a malacha deraisa. The Gemara never says what the malacha is. So Taisus claims, and the Yerushalmi says like Taisus, doesn't quote the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi says like Taisus that causing bleeding is a malacha of netilas neshama ki adam hu anefesh. That's what Taisus says. Yeah, I don't know. You mean when you kill the animal? So if you kill a fatter animal, so there's going to be more blood. There's going to be more blood spilled. Fatter animal has more blood in its circulatory system. I don't know. It's a good point.
We take into account like time for the bedikas, because if it was their animal, the bedikas are going to take longer afterward. Clean the animal and that whole process. Is that also considered, or does that doesn't matter really?
I don't think it'll be relevant. For the choleh, so you prepare, you're allowed to do any melachas that are necessary. So I can remove the feathers and I have to cook it and so on. For the healthy person, you're not allowed to do anything else. So let's say for the healthy person, there's a little bit leftover chicken. You want to eat the chicken raw, because then say, hey, we won't allow you to remove the feathers. That's a different melacha. We won't allow you to cook it. But if you want to eat it raw, because then say, hey, so he's not going to be doing any extra melacha. So that was the kasha that Sameach asked. Why do you only make a gzer? The Gemara makes a contrast. Hashechet l'chay l'bishabes mutter l'bari b'yamtzame. Vashe l'chay l'bishabes osa l'bari. Gzer Hashem yarbe b'shvila. So one should say gzer Hashem yarbe b'shvila by the chicken also. El shech the fatted chicken or a fatted calf in order to have more meat to eat. So he says, no, there is no marbe. Marbe b'shvila doesn't apply to netilas neshama, but as well as a fat animal, a skinny animal, it only has one neshama. There is no marbe b'shvila to speak of. That's an interesting question. Is that so? That the nature of the Isser is Nantilas Neshama, so there's only one Neshama? Maybe not so, yeah.
But who's saying that Shema Yavushua is making, where Peda will make another Maisa Bishul, for example, you'll pour more into the pot or into cook? So, wouldn't this be the target of Kashi Bishul? There, it's only one mite, we're afraid. We don't mind that there'll be a one mice and a bema. Here in Bishul, we're afraid there'll be also another mice. He'll do another mice also, that will make one time to make another mice.
Mean where Geyser, maybe the person will pour more food into the pot after having put the pot on the fire. That's what it means. Not Geyser Shem Yavishvil, he'll put on a pot with more soup in the first place. He'll add on soup in the middle while it's cooking. Okay, that could be the pshat. Could be the pshat. Many Rishonim seem to assume that Gzer Hashem Yavishvil means we're afraid he'll fill up the pot more than he needs before he puts it on the fire. And when he puts it on the fire, it's really only Marbe Bishurim, it's not Marbe B'Malachas. And still awesome. Marbe Bishurim is still awesome. Okay. It's an interesting topic that Tosis raised over here. There is a Mishnah in Shabbos that Gram Kibui is mutter on Shabbos. The Mishnah has on Daf Kuf Chof that there's a fire and the whole house is going to burn down, and the fellow wants to prevent it from burning down, so he takes barrels of water and he puts it, let's say the fire is all in one location, puts barrels, so you're not allowed to take a hose and open the water and have the water extinguish the flame. That's Mechaba b'Shabbos. What if I'll put barrels of water in a circle around the fire, and when the fire will reach the barrels, the earthenware barrels, they'll crack, they won't be able to withstand the fire. And when they'll crack, then the water will spill out and extinguish the flame. So the Mishnah considers that Gram Kibui. So that's the question, what's the definition? Why is that called Gram Kibui and other things are not called Gram? Whether Gram Kibui means whenever there's a delayed reaction, because the Kibui is not going to take place till later. So if I set a Shabbos clock and the light is going to go on later, so that's only Gram. That's what some poskim say. And others say no, that there's a different reason why this is called gram, and the Shabbos clock will constitute an issur d'oraisa, won't be called the gram. But kolpanim, that's what it says in the Mishnah, that gram kibui is mutar on Shabbos. Gram kibui in such a case is mutar on Shabbos. And the Ramon, Hilchas Shabbos, when he quotes that Mishnah, he's allowed to put the barrels with the water, and when the heat comes, going to crack the barrels, and the water's going to extinguish the flame, and so on. So the Ramon says, gram kibui is really only, he quotes a Mordechai, gram kibui is only mutar min ha-Torah, but it's also the Rabbanim. But b'makom dleika, hitiru chachamim. So it's only mutar b'makom dleika if you're afraid the whole house is going to get destroyed. Shalom b'makom hefsid meruba, shalom b'makom mitzvah, shalom b'makom chayla, we would not be makom. When you have a big shasat chak, like a makom mitzvah, b'makom hefsid meruba, b'makom chayla, then you allow malach al yedei grum. Right, right. And nonetheless, we don't allow it, yeah. Huh? Okay, so it's a double drabon. So it's asam drabon because it's gram, and it's also kibui itself is only a malachim drabon. So we don't even allow. Why don't you say shvus de shvus should be mutam and makam hefsid meruba? The whole house is going to burn down. So why shouldn't he be allowed? Why shouldn't he be allowed, the same question, why shouldn't he be allowed to ask a nachri to please put out the fire? The Mishnah says you're not allowed to ask a nachri. Why? I should say it's a shvuz de shvuz, but makam hefsid meruah. Amir liyakum, and the whole kibbutz is only with the rabban, because he's not going to use, he doesn't plan to use the pechom. It should be considered a malach hashen tzvicha legufa. So the Gemara asked that question, basically. Let it be a shvuz de shvuz, but makam hefsid meruah. Amir liyakum, on kibbutz, which is only malach hashen tzvicha legufa. So the Gemara says there's a new issur. There's a din, there are heterim in emergency situations. There's a kula of shvuz de shvuz b'makam mitzvah and so on, all kinds of kulas b'makam hefsid meruba. But there's also a chumra, there's an issur hatzola. They're afraid that adam bo'al al mamono, a person is going to be so concerned about the loss of his property, so he may do the kibui himself. So even though it should have really been mutta because it's a shvuz de shvuz b'makam hefsid meruba, should have been mutta to ask the nochri to extinguish the flame, because the kibui is only going to be yen tzvich l'gufa, he doesn't plan to use the pechom. And it's only amir and anachri, but we don't allow it because it's a new isa. There's an isa hatzola. Zeresh, odem bo'al al mamono, lest he'll forget and he'll violate malachas deraisa. Yeah. So that's a Mishnah in Shabbos, that we allow gram kibui is only an isa. That's how the Ramah quotes a Mordechai understands like that. Gram malach is only an isa derabanan. B'makom dleika legos b'rabbanan. Shalom b'makom dleika. We don't permit malach ayidei grama. That was when they came out with the grama telephones many years ago. That was it. Over 25 years ago in Eretz Yisrael. They started with the grama telephones on Shabbos, and many gdolim felt that it wasn't right to have a grama telephone. So they said, for a doctor, so let him call on a telephone straight. If he's dealing with a chodesh eish b'sakana, let him make a regular telephone call. Maybe that it's only an issa d'rabbanan. Rab Shlomo Zalman Arba Chazanin convinced that there should be an issa d'rabbanan to talk on a telephone. He said, maybe it's only an issa mitaminik. He's not even convinced that it's an issa d'rabbanan. So for the doctors who are dealing with patients, so we don't have to look for a heta for them to use a grama telephone. And there were many gedolim were concerned if you're going to advertise that you have grama telephones, a person will start use it for his business. They call his children in Eretz Yisrael on a grama telephone. You're going to do malachas with a grama telephone. Shalom amakum chayla. So many were opposed at that time. They didn't think you should be mefarsim that you have a grama telephone. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, that gram kibbutz is only nisa derabbanan, but makom dleika he kilo. So the Biur Halacha quotes a sofrek from the Shilti Giborim on that sif in Shulchan Aruch, on that Gemara. The gram kibbutz is muta min ha-Torah, it's only awesome in the Rabbanon. Does that apply across the board to all the lametes of us malachas? The gram by all the malachas is muta min ha-Torah and only awesome in the Rabbanon? Maybe we have to analyze each and every malach individually. Maybe sometimes gram is awesome in ha-Torah, sometimes gram is awesome in the Rabbanon. And how are you going to figure out? How are you going to analyze? What's going to be the determining factor? What's going to be the criterion to decide whether gram of any given malacha will be an issa d'oraisa and issa d'rabbanan? So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Shilta Gibarim on the side of the Mishnah and Shabbat, on the side of the Rif. Shilta Gibarim is printed out on the side of the Rif. So the Shilta Gibarim doesn't explain what the Makam Sofik is. Why should I distinguish between Stam Malachas and others? The one who explains what may possibly be going on is the Ragat Shavar, but he's talking about something else. He's not talking about the Shilta Gibarim. The Ragat Shavar asks that question on that daf, Kuf Chaf Amid Beis in Masechah Shabbos, where the Gemara says, L'sasa kol malacha, malacha hudiyasa gram ashari, that the malacha ide gram is mutam in atayra. So the Gemara in the same daf discusses gram in other areas of halacha. So the Gemara says, mechikas Hashem, there's a din l'sasa and kein l'Hashem alakech. You're not allowed to be mechikas Hashem. It says, v'ibarat mashma min amakma, hu l'sasa and kein l'Hashem alakech. You're not allowed to erase, you're not allowed to destroy Shem Hashem. So the Gemara talks about a situation, let's say a person has a Shem Hashem written on his skin. A guy was sleeping and someone else came with ink and he wrote Shem Hashem. So I want to take a bath. So I'm not allowed to wash off my hands, not allowed to wash off my body, because some Meshuggah wrote Shem Hashem, so I'm not allowed to erase Shem Hashem. So the Gemara has a discussion of that topic. Misha Yikasuf Shem Al Besoroi. So how can we give him a heter to bathe? So the Gemara says something to the fact that it's only gram mechikas Hashem. If you're going to wash and you're going to rub off all the ink, that's mechikas Hashem v'yadayim. But just to be toivel in the mikveh, not to wash your body, to clean off all the dirt from the surface. To be toivel in the mikveh to come out. So in the mele, the ink is going to get looser and looser until it's going to fall off. So for some reason or another, that's considered gram mechikas Hashem. Why isn't that melacha v'yadayim is a deep, dark secret. No one knows exactly. So the Chazanish, whenever the Chazanish gets stuck, so it goes into poetry. So over here, he starts giving some Dr. Zdik explanation. Why isn't it Mechikas Hashem B'yadayim? I don't know. So he says something. It's a difficult Gemara. It's a problematic Gemara. So the Gemara says, huh? So it's a psigreshe, but he knows it's going to happen. So we don't fully understand the Gemara, but the Gemara says, on Shabbos it says, Loisasa kol malacha, so it says Loisasa asihu diyasa gram mishari. There's a gram is mutam in atar. Then it says v'ibarat mashma min amakmu loisasa kein l'sham lakech masihu diyasa gram mishari. The gram mechikas Hashem is mutam in atar. Maybe it's also in the Rabbanon, but at least it's mutam in atar. Okay. And then the Gemara says in another place in Masechah Shabbos, it seems to say the gram sirus is muta. Excuse me. Gram sirus is also in atar. It says when someone brings a korban to the Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to be makir of the korban if it's a balmum. And what constitutes a balmum? So missing a finger, missing a toe, showing that's a balmum. And then it says, what if somebody castrated the animal? That's also called a balmum. And then it concludes, u'b'yartzachem lo'isasu, and you're not allowed to castrate an animal. There's an issa sirus. There's an aver. You're not allowed to be misaris a human being. You're not allowed to be misaris any animals. So the Gemara discusses this prohibition of sirus. So the Gemara says, if you remove the red thing on top of the male rooster, so he's you didn't tamper with the genitals of the rooster, you didn't tamper with the eva haleda of the rooster, but the rooster is going to be so depressed because you removed his the cock, the red thing on top. So he won't want to be with the hen. So the Gemara says that that's forbidden, even though it's only gram sirus. It's not actual sirus. He didn't tamper with the organ itself. So the Ragat Shavah wants to understand, why is it that sometimes gram is mutam in atar and sometimes gram is asam in atar? So he says it depends what the nature of the prohibition is. All of the surim in the Torah are divided into two categories. Sometimes it's in isa pul or sometimes it's in isa chalois. Sometimes the Torah says you're not allowed to do a certain activity. Sometimes the Torah says you're not allowed to bring about a certain result. So if the Torah prohibits, don't bring about a certain result. So what do I care whether I do it b'yadam or I do it a grama? Bottom line, I brought about this and this result. So by sirus, the Torah says v'yartzchem loisasu. It didn't mean to be medayik loisasu asihu diyosu grama shori. No. You're not allowed to bring about this result. So even gram sirus is also awesome in our Torah. Hashem came by Shabbos, this is questionable, whether Chilul Shabbos constitutes an Issa Gavra, a person is not allowed to do an act of Chilul Shabbos, or an Issa Hefzi, you're not allowed to mar the sanctity of the Shabbos by causing Molocha to take place. So the Ragat Shavar is explaining this, according to his interpretation, that Asiyu Diyasa Gram Mishari, that on Shabbos is not an Isa Chalois, it's not an Isa Heftza that you're bringing about a certain result, it's an Isa Gavra, not to do a Pu'ula of Chilu Shabbos. So if you say like that, then the Shilti Yibarim is raising a question, maybe Gram Kibui is Mutter on Shabbos, doesn't apply to all the Lama Tassavas Malachas. Maybe we have to investigate each and every malacha to determine what's the definition of the malacha. Is it an Issa Pa'ula or is it an Issa Chalais? If it's an Issa Pa'ula, then we'll say Groma will be Mutter Min HaTorah on all of these malachas. But it could be that some of them are Issa Pa'ula and some of the malachas are Issa Chalais. So if it'll be an Issa Chalais, then we'll say that that Groma will be Issa Min HaTorah. So that's the Svara that the Arutz Sameach says. There was a stira between the two Gemaras regarding Marbe Bishurim, where the Marbe Bishurim constitutes a Malacha Deraisa, a Malacha Derabbanon. So the one Gemara was Kotzer. One Gemara was in the beginning of Perek HaBishmoel. The Gemara wasn't sure, is it preferable to break off one branch that has five oranges or to pluck off three separate oranges? The Chayla only needs three oranges, it doesn't need five. So the Gemara was toying with the idea that it's better to pull off, to pluck off three different oranges. The maskana was it's better to do one ketzira, break off the one branch that has the five oranges. But the fact that the Gemara entertained the havamina to consider the alternative, that it should be preferable to break off, it should be preferable to pluck off three separate oranges than to break off the one branch that has the five oranges, so it would appear that Marbe Bishurim constitutes an Issa Deraisa. So the Yosemech suggested maybe you have to distinguish between the various malachas. Maybe by kotzer it's an Issa Chalois, and maybe by Bishul it's an Issa Pu'ula. Maybe sometimes Marbe Bishurim will be an Issa Deraisa, and some malachas Marbe Bishurim will be an Issa Derabbanan, along the same lines of the Shilti Giborim, that in some malachas Grama will be Mutter Min HaTorah, and other malachas Grama will be Issa Min HaTorah. Maybe you have to give a different type of a definition for each and every individual malacha. Maybe some are an Issa Pu'ula, some are an Issa Chalois. But that's the Or Sameach raises that possibility. Rishayim, we don't have that to distinguish between the various malachas.
See, but there you surely have to say that the Torah asked to have the separation done. You didn't do it. You see, like the Or Sameach.
Okay. That's a question. It could be that that's not called Grama. It could be that that's Biyadai. He's harnessing a Koyach Hacham Yorubai for his purposes. So I know in advance that the wind is blowing. So I throw up the Oichel with the Psolus, knowing that that the Psolus is going to fly away and the Oichel is going to remain over here. So I'm harnessing the Ruach to do the Malacha for me. So I don't know if that's a Grama. That could be called Korach Achmir, but that relates back to me. Yeah. I mean, for Nizikin purposes, I consider it a Grama. But for Shabbos purposes, it's not necessarily defined as Grama. Okay, so there's that's a big discussion. This thesis was, we had a lot to discuss. Okay. What do we have the next Gemara? Next Gemara is Tanu Rabbanan, in the middle of Ches on the base, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. So we went through the six dinim, the six halachas of Surya. The three dinim that it shares in common with Eretz Yisrael, the three dinim that it's different from the dinu kechutz la'aretz. The next Gemara is an interesting din. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Peyo. A man wants to be Meshachra and Eved Kenaini. There are two ways to be Meshachra and Eved Kenaini, either Agdei Kesef or Agdei Shtar. There's a Machloikas HaTanam. If you're Meshachra and Eved Kenaini, Agdei Kesef, is it only Meshachra the Kinyan Iser? But you still need a Shtar to cancel the Kinyan. Should I say the Shichra Agdei Kesef only cancels the Kinyan Moment, but in order to cancel the Kinyan Iser, you still need a Shtar? Or do you say, no, we pass in Kesef Gaimabo? That when the Eved Kenaini is Yotzeh L'Cheir is like the Kesef cancels both the Kinyan Mammon and the Kinyan Issa. Just like Ayde Shtar, the Shichra Ayde Shtar cancels both the Kinyan Mammon and the Kinyan Issa, So the Sheikh Rai, that Kesef also cancels both the Kenyan Mammon and the Kenyanis. So the din is that the Sheikh has to be written Lishma, just like Getisha. We learn Lala Misha. The Sheikh has to be written Lishma. So the Gemara has later a discussion on Daf Pehem, the base, which expressions, which Lishonis are acceptable for Sheikh Eve Kanaini, or Shivcha Kanainis, which Lishonis are acceptable for a Getisha. Let's say for a Getisha, you write the top of Pehem and Beis and Nima. You have to write Haret Muteris L'Cholodim. Let's say he'll give a Shtashichur to the Shivcha Knainis, and he'll write Haret Muteris L'Cholodim. He means you should be Muter now to marry a Ben Chorin. So the Gemara says that's not an acceptable Lashon. You have to write Hareat L'Atzmech, but if you write, or Hareat Bas Chorin, but if you write Hareat Muteris L'Cholodim, that's not a valid Lashon for Shichur Eve Knainis. Shichur Shivcha Knainis. So our Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Peya, our Gemara Ches on the base, quotes the Mishnah from Peya, has a fascinating Kiddush. If I want to be Meshachet Eve Knainis like they star, and along with giving him a Shtar Shichur to be Meshachrahim, I want to give him some assets too. Kol Mashikon Eve Knainis, so Saul calls money, he's my Eve Knainis that has no money. So I write in the Shtar Shichur, I hereby free you, and I hereby oblige myself to give you $100,000. So the Gemara says the shtar can serve the two purposes. The shtar boin keechod. The shtar will serve to be mishachad the avikneini, and the avikneini will also acquire the kinyan that the odin owes him, the $100,000. Or let's say he'll give the avikneini a shtar shichur. I'm freeing you. I'm giving you the matana this house. So you say that it's boin keechod, even though Kozman is an Evik 90, doesn't have a yad. So how does he coin the house idea the shtashichur? So we say boin keechod, the shtashichur works to be mishachar him, and once he's no longer an Evik 90, so he don't no longer say kol mashikana evikana rabba. So the shtashichur will accomplish the other half of the shtashichur will accomplish that I owe him the $100,000, but that the house should belong to him. So fine. So then the Mishnah has a further lashon, a further chiddush. He writes, "Kol nechasa kruim l'cha pleini yavdi." So he's being meshachar the Eve Knaini in a lashon, "Kol nechasa kruim l'cha." That's a lashon of haknoah and dini mamonis, and you really have to write a lashon of shichrur. So the Mishnah says that's acceptable. "Kol nechasa kruim l'cha" includes you yourself, so that lashon is valid to serve as a lashon for shtar shichrur. "Kol nechasa kruim l'pleini yavdi." So the Gemara just has a shaila. What if he was meshacher and Eve Knaini with such a loshen? Kol nechas akrim lepleini avdi. And the Eve Knaini comes. Let's say the Odin is away in Eretz Yisrael. He's not here in New York. And the Eve Knaini comes to Bezdin and says, "Look, I have a shtar shichur. I'm a free man, and everything belongs to me. So I'm taking over my balabas's factory and his private home." They say, "Wait a minute, what's going on? The balbas not here." He says, "So what? Here's my shtar shichur. It says kol nechas klunim lepleini avdi. I get everything." So the Tosa said on the first daf on Beis Amud Aleph, Tosa says, if the fellow is coming shaloi b'fanav, the Eve Knaini is coming shaloi b'fanav of the Yodan, and he wants to take over the factory, he wants to take over his home, he wants to take away all of his automobiles and all of his air conditioners and everything. So the Bezdin will say, "Tanina Mizuyev, on behalf of the Balo Eved." We say, "We're not so convinced, make a Kiyom Ashtar, that we should know for sure that you're entitled to take everything. We're not so convinced that it's authentic." We wouldn't say Tanina Mizuyev vis-a-vis the freedom of the Eved Knaini. The Eved Knaini says, "Look, I have a Shtar Shichur, I'm free, goodbye, I'm moving to Florida. I'm moving to Texas." So, we don't say, "You have no right to leave until we contact the Yodam, maybe it's Mizuyev." No, we don't say Tanina Mizuyev. We understand why we don't say Tanina Mizuyev Baishi Shehevi or Gito, Beretz Yisrael, you don't Tanina Mizuyev because Mishum Igun Akila Berabbanan. That's what Tosfos says. Why is by Eve Knaini there's no Igun? Why do we say by the Eve Knaini we don't have to say we should be Choshish that maybe the whole Shtar Shichur is Mizuyev? So the answer is there's also a Shtikal Inyan, not Mishum Igun Akila Berabbanan. He wants to be chayv in all the mitzvahs. He wants to be able to marry a normal girl. He doesn't want to be mutter b'shivcha k'nas. He wants to be mutter b'israelis. So we say that that's also the same. Just like we don't say tanina mizuyev in with respect to the get isha because mishum igun akila berabbanan. So this is also a madrega like igun. But what if the Eved, I gave the Eved a Shtashich, and it says, Kol Nachas HaKpunim L'cho. It's not that it says, Harei Atoli Atzmecho, Hareini Meshacher Esa Eved, V'gam Hareini Noisen Lo, I'm giving him a house in addition. I wrote really two shtaris in one. Here I wrote one shtar that says, Kol Nachas HaKpunim L'Pleini Avdi, and the one Lashon of the shtar includes Shichur, and includes giving him the Matan of all of my assets. So regarding the assets, the Bezin should really tie the Mizuyev Shaloi Bifnei if the Adon is not here. If the Adon is here, so we'll ask him, did you give him the shtar or did he forge it? But so whatever the Adon says, okay. But if the Adon is not here, would we say Mizuyev? So if the Adon is not here, we tie the Mizuyev with respect to, Tosfos said, in Kein Lo Shaf Keschai L'chol Beri, you have to tie the Mizuyev when the fellow comes to take everything, Shaloi Bifnei, the owner of the thing. So the Bezdin should Tanina Mizuyev with respect to all the other assets, but the Bezdin will not say Tanina Mizuyev with respect to the Shichur of the Eved K'nayni. So what's going to remain? The Eved K'nayni is Yotze L'Cheiros Al Deh Shtar Shichur, but the whole Shichur is only Agav, that it says Kol Nechasa Kleim L'cho. And the rest of the Nechasa is not Kaina, because we say Tanina Mizuyev. So it comes out that the Loshin Kol Nechasa Kleim L'cho, which is basically a secular Loshin, it's a Loshin, a Choshim Mishpatika Loshin, for being Makna property, we're using that Loshin to be Mishachar Eved K'nayni. Shichar Eved K'nayni is in Yerideya, in Chelek Gimel Yerideya, in Hilchus Eved K'nayni. So is that legitimate? Is that acceptable? The Mishnah says in Peya, you can be Mishachar Eved K'nayni with such a Loshin. Agav, Kol Nechasav, included is also the Eved. So that's good. But what if it's going to turn out, it says Kol Nechasav, K'nayim L'cho, Flayni Avdi, and it's going to turn out that the whole nusach of that shtar is only valid, only significant, only relevant when it gets to the shichur of the eved. Such a lashon is good for shichur eved. Maybe it's only good for shichur eved, agav the rest of the nechasim. But to turn out that it's only for the shichur of the eved. So that's the machlokes Abai v'Rabbis. Abai says you have no right to split the shtar. Either you say tanina mezuyef on the whole shtar, so the eved is not even yotze v'cheres here. Or you say, Loi Tanina Mizuyev, even Legabi all in a chosim. Since you don't Tanina Mizuyev vis-a-vis the Eved, it's like Mishum Miguna Kila Berabanan, that he wants to observe all the mitzvahs. So just like we're not going to Tanina Mizuyev vis-a-vis the Shtar Shichur aspect of it, so we want Tanina Mizuyev when we get to the Shana Chosim. Abai says you can't split the Shtar in half. And Rabbi says, not so. We split in half. We say, Echazev Echazev. Whether it says, Hari At, Liatzmecha v'kol nechasa k'neim l'cha, or it just says one lashon kol nechasa k'neim l'plani avdi, does make a difference. Echazev echazev atzmakana nechasa malakana. With respect to the shichur eved k'nayni, we're not going to say tanina mizuyev, and with respect to the shan nechasa, we will say tanina mizuyev. So the Gemara says, "Wow!" So you see from Rava that he holds pagina dibura. What does it mean pagina dibura? Happens. The other Gemaras that talk about Pagina Dibura, that's what the Ran and the Rif raises the whole topic of Pagina Dibura. The other Gemaras that talk about Pagina Dibura is a totally different topic, totally unrelated to this Gemara. This Gemara is a local version of Pagina Dibura. And that Gemara means a different thing. And that Gemara, what it means is, such a Lashon, Kol Nechasa Kenuinim L'Pleini Avdi, is a Lashon that goes on all the Nechasim, so it includes also Shichur Adi Avi K'nayna. But here it's going to boil down to the fact that Kol Nechasa is only going to go on the Shichur of the Eved K'nayni. It's not going to go on anything else. So is that a valid Lashon for Shichur? If it only works on the Shichur, it doesn't work for any other Nechasim, is that an acceptable Lashon that it should work for the Shichur of the Eved K'nayni? So that's what the Gemara refers to. That Lashon, that's called Pagin and Dibur. You take a Lashon, Kol Nechasa K'nayim L'chava. That sounds like he's giving him Dini Mominis, it's a Shtar and Dini Mominis. And it boils down to the fact that it's only going to accomplish Shichur Eved K'nayni, which is in the area of Issa V'Heta. Is that Lashon of Mominis valid when the Lashon works on Mominis and on Shichur? So then the Mishnah Peah says that it's valid. So here it's only going to work on the Mominis, only going to work on the Shichur, not going to work on the Mominis. So is that a good Lashon or not? So that's what the Gemara is pilpiling. Is Rabbi right that you say Pagin and Dibura? That you can use a Lashon of Mominis to be Mshachar the Eved K'nayni or not. We pass like that. We pass like that. So the Gemara quotes some kind of a Machlokes HaTanoim from the Mishnah Pei. What is it? What's the Machlokes HaTanoim? Machlokes HaMeir? Place of Meir Rav Yosi. What happened over here? Place of Rav Meir Rav Shimon. Place of Meir Rav Shimon. So what's the machlokes? Hakaisu kol nechasa liyavdo yotze ben chorin. Fine. That's chiddush number one. That's a valid lashon. Kol nechasa krum lechov matana is a valid lashon to serve his shichur. Even though that lashon sounds like a secular lashon for dinim amenis, it can be helpful to be mishachliyav. Now shir kako koshuhu. If he left out a little bit, lo yotze ben chorin. What does he write? Kol nechasa krum lechov matana chutz misode plainus. So the Gemara says, Lo Yotze Ben Chorin. Why is Lo Yotze Ben Chorin? Why does Tanakhama say Lo Yotze Ben Chorin? And Rav Shimon disagrees and he says, not true. The Olam Hu Ben Chorin, even if he said Chutz Misa De Pleini is also good, Hashem HaKol Nechasim Sunim B'Pani Yav the Chutz Miechem Meribu Shebehem. If he says, I give all of my assets to my Yavik Naini, except for 1%, or except for 100th of 1%. So maybe he meant to leave out the Evik Naini. He doesn't say which hundredth of 1% he's leaving out. Maybe he considers the Evik Naini as so worthless, and he writes, Chutz Meyach Meribu Shaboy, so the Evik Naini doesn't go free. What's the din? The din is that if you Meshach HaChatzi Avdo, he's not Yoytze L'Chayr. The Gemara talks about a Chatzi Evid V'Chatzi Menchor. So the Gemara later in Gittin discusses, how do you have such an animal? How did you have such a Chatzi Evid V'Chatzi Menchor? So does it mean that I have an Evik Naini? I give him a shtar shichur and I write, I hereby free 50% of you. So the Evik Naini only has to work every other day for me, and every other day he's off. That's what the case is. So that's a machlokes like satanai. We pass kam shachar chatzi evdo is lo yotze lecheres. So well, how do you ever have a chatzi evd v'chatz mechar? So the Gemara says, no, he was an evd shal shnei shutfim. Two Jewish people bought an Evik Naini b'shutfis. And one of them gives him a shtar shichur, mishachar my share. He's Meshachar 100% of his share, but his share is only 50% of the whole Evik Naini. So that's not a violation of Meshachar Chatzi Avdo. Meshachar Chatzi Avdo doesn't accomplish anything. But if you Meshachar the full Kenyan that you have, and you only own 50% of the Evik, so that's not a problem. So you can't have such an Evik. So here also, let's say I give the Evik Ishtar Shichro, Kol Nechosa Knuim Lecho, except for 1%, or except for 100th of 1%. So I'm a shachar the Yevid, chatzi avdo. I'm not mishachar 50% of the Yevid. I'm shachar 99.99% of the Yevid. I'm leaving over 0.01% of the Yevid. So he's loyota klal lecheres. If I'm mishachar chatzi Yevid, you don't say that he only works for me every other day. You say he doesn't go free at all. Can't be mishachar chatzi Yevid. So if I leave out chutz mi echad mi ribo shebohem, I leave out 1/10 of 1%, 1/100 of 1%. So I'm freeing part of the Evid and the other part I'm not freeing. I'm freeing 99.99% of the Evid. 1/1000 chutz me'ech me'ribu shebehem. I'm leaving over. So that's a chatzim meshachar chatzim avdo. So the Evid is not yotze l'cheres at all. So that's what Reb Shimon holds. The only time you say chutz and the Evid will not be yotze l'cheres is if you left over a percentage of everything. So then it's Meshach HaChatzi Avdo, so even the Chatzi Avdo is not going free. Well, what could you possibly say? That when he says, Chutz Miyecha Miribu Shebehem, he means a specific thing that's not that he's giving him everything. Kol Nechosai, I'm giving you all of my property, 99.99% of all of my property, and 0.01% should remain mine. That's Meshach HaChatzi Avdo. What it means to say is I'm giving you full ownership of 99.99% of everything, and there's one item, 0.01% of everything, they want to retain for myself. So if that's what he meant, it's also no good. He didn't say what he's leaving over, so it could be that he means the Evid. The Evid is a very valuable Evid. The Evid sells for $2 million on the marketplace. Worth $2 million, but I refer to him as worthless. I refer to him as a Chutz Meyecha Meribu Shebeh. So whether you say that he meant to say I give you ownership of everything, I give you 99.99% of ownership of everything, but I'm retaining 0.01% for myself, so that's Meshachar Chatzi Avdo, so the Evid doesn't go free at all. Or if he means to say he retains one specific thing, so then maybe he meant to retain the Evid, so it's not clear that the Evid goes free. So Reb Shimon says, in that case the Evid doesn't go free, all other cases will go free. And the Tanakhama over here is Reb Meir, That's how the Gemara says. Tanakama over here in this Mishnah Peya is Rameyer, and Rameyer says not only Chutz Miyechem Miribo doesn't he go free, even if Shir Karka Koshu. Alright, Kol Nachas Akronim Lacho Chutz Misode Ploini. So then, Tanakama Rameyer holds that the Eved does not go free. Why not? Why doesn't the Eved go free? So Rashi has a strange pshat. Rashi writes both over here and Chesam and Beis and Tesam and Aleph. And Tesis is questioning whether Rashi's pshat is correct. So Rashi says that since he's leaving something out, Goli daited the Nochas Lishayura, Amina the day nami shir. Since he's leaving things out, so maybe he meant to leave out the Eved also. It's a strange pshat. So Tosis not so happy about it. They quote Rashi, not so happy. So Tosis gives a different suggestion. If I say chutz mi davar plaini, let's say a man is megarish his wife. He says haret megarish his man, but haret muteris lechaladim chutz mi plaini. So that's a Mishnah later, and that's a machlokes hatanaim. Where's that? In Perek HaMegarish, the beginning of the last Perek, Perek HaMegarish. So Rav Lezer holds that she's muteris to everybody except for Pliny. And we paskin that she's not muteris to anybody. Get krisis has to be davar kores bein ola bein o. And if he says chutz me Pliny, so that's not kores gita. So here, we learn not lo lo meisha. Zer shava lo lo meisha. Shtashichra has to be the same as a get isha. So shtashichra also has to have kores gita. So let's say he gives a shtashichra to the Eved Kenayani, but the shtashichra is b'havloah together with the shtar matana on all the nechassim. So he writes, kol nechassa k'noim l'cha b'matana, chutz from the one from the brand new automobile that I just bought yesterday. So the Eved Kenayani is yotze l'cheiris agav, it's one lashon. He didn't write, harei, hareini m'shachra oischa, v'hareini nes l'cha b'matana kol nechassa chutz mizeh. No, it's one lashon. Kol nechassa k'noim l'ploini avdi, it's one lashon that goes on the shichur and on the matnas ha-nechassim. So if he says, in that one lashon, chutz mi chayfetz pliny, except for the new automobile that I just bought yesterday, so it turns out that he's making a shiur in the lashon that's serving as the shichur. So just like chutz mi pliny, harei ha-meteh v'zecholodim chutz mi pliny is a shiur in the gerishin, so that's a lack of kreis gita, bina kreis gita v'leko. So here also, this is a lack of kreis gita. He's mishachar the eved by using a lashon kol nachas akinam l'chabem matana, but then he says chutz from one automobile, chutz from one ping pong table, chutz from one catcher's mitt or something, chutz from a football. If he writes chutz me anything, so it comes out that he has a shir in the lashon ha-shichur. So shir in the lashon ha-shichur is a violation of kreis gita. That's a Tosis suggests pshat. I'm a chudish dikir pshat. Then the Rif and the Ramam have a third pshat. What does it mean? A lack of kreis gita. What does it mean a lack of kreis gita? So they say that when the Baal gives the get to the Isha, so he has to give it to her that it's the get serves now for the Isha as a shtar raya. Originally he gives the get as a shtar kinyan. It has chasinus on bottom, serves as a shtar raya. Here, the woman is going to, let's say, here the Eved Kenayani. He gives a shtar shichur to the Eved Kenayani. So the Eved Kenayani can continue holding on if it has Eidi Chasima on it. If it's Eidi Mesira Karsi, there are no Eidi Chasima at all. So it's not going to be able to serve as a shtar raya if anybody has no Eidi Chasima. But if it does have Eidi Chasima, so it's, initially it's served as a shtar kinyan to affect the shichur and to affect the ownership, transfer of the ownership. And then the Eved holds on to the shtar, it serves as a shtar raya. But that shtar raya also serves the purpose of serving as the shtarai for the Yodon, because he wrote kol nechas akunim l'cha chutz misodei pliny. So it serves the purposes of the Yodon that it says that he has the right to hold on to that one piece of karka. So that's a lack of kreis gita, because there's a raya in the shtashichur that's helpful for the Yodon. So that's a lack of kreis gita. Kreis gita means this shtar is all beneficial to the Eved. But if one line in the shtar is to the benefit of the Baal HaEved, the Odin of the Eved, he needs it because it gives it right to him. So that's how the Rif and the Ramam learn. That's the lack of kreis gita. You know, kreis gita v'aleko. The love kreis gita. Then Rashi came up with the whole wild pshat here that the Ran discusses. We'll believe that. We'll have to start from that tomorrow. What's a din? I have 100 fields and 100 different medinas, and I give you a document that says, I hereby give you ownership of one of my fields. And I didn't say which field. So, should you say that you? I have to give you something. I can stick you with the least valuable field. I own a field in New Zealand. All the other fields are in America. And I own a property in New Zealand. I can stick you with the most inconvenient field. Or do you say, no, you get nothing? So Rashi claims you get nothing. Rashi and the Rif say you get nothing. So that's what the Ran says. The Tosis and the Ran says, why you get nothing? Isn't there a Gemara Merachas that he, about Basra Merachas that he does get? You have to figure out what did Rashi mean. Okay, so that's for tomorrow.